Tonight's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games.
No. Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, motherfuckers? I'm Heavy Metal.
And I'm Maddie Studios, and today on Heavy Meta, we do not have a TSG because apparently the United States government wants him to do jury duty. I don't know how that outranks this podcast, but apparently.
I don't know how he can't get out of jury duty. Like, I mean, that's probably one of the easier things to do is get out of jury duty. But TSG, we'll have to teach you one of these days.
Yeah, I mean, I just keep missing episodes, man. You know, soon no one will remember you. I'm just kidding. But tonight, the other member of Heavy Meta that we've all forgotten. I don't know.
Airplanes.
What was his name again? Dave?
Gumby, the motherfucking rat.
Who's that? Yeah, I'm just kidding. Gumby, again, is, unfortunately, as you know, a lot of people know that members of the cast are trying to find their way in the world and life.
They're better their lives than a bunch of dumb shit like that. Like, I feel like this should be their number one priority, and school and career should be second. But, you know, not everybody's me.
I know, right? But tonight we've got two guests that one is likely and one is unlikely. One is awesome. One is even awesomer. I'll let you decide. But tonight. I know, right? I know.
Fight it out.
fight to the death. No. Tonight we got JR, Time Elemental. As you know, say hello, JR.
Friends. I'm new Moto Ferret.
Yeah, he's new Moto Ferret. That's right. Before you know it, he's going to be out talking about prices. And an esteemed guest of mine, a member of a site that I have been talking about practically since the very beginning season of Heavy Meta. We used to follow a Japanese site called Mosuba, which was it was all right, I guess, for tracking prices. And then there was this little tiny website with a fish, and it was called Goldfish. And it came out of nowhere one day, and then it's just become this gigantic knowledge and information and pricing index site that, like, probably is the number one most visited site by me, at least, every day. always checking what's going on. Chaz.
It actually is MTG in Gold. My fucking, like, every time I try to go to a website, it's one of those, like, it just, your browser throws it up there. It's just all, are you trying to go here? Like, because I'm there all the fucking time.
I know. If I type MNT, it's just like, all right, autocomplete. Sweet.
Well, yeah, how's it going? Thanks for having me on. This is going to be awesome.
Hey, thanks for coming on, man. Yep. It's been a long time.
Earlier on, like, Maddie's not kidding. Earlier on, we had to kind of like start throwing disclaimers out there. Every time we bring up Goldfish, we're like, well, if you go to MTG Goldfish to check this out, we're like, but they're actually not sponsoring us. They're like, we're not getting paid by because we bring you guys up so much. It's just like, oh, you know, this cast is sponsored by Face-to-Face Games. Also, go to fucking MTV Goldfish. Like, it was bad. We had to start telling people, hey, they're not paying us to say that shit. We just believe in that site enough to keep trying to get you to go there.
Yeah, I mean, I write articles for all different places, and I always end up talking about Goldfish anyway, so it's like, it's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, this is going to be awesome. Thanks for having me on. Big fan.
Hey, no problem. Well, let's kick it off. I mean, obviously tonight it is Wednesday, as most of the devout followers know. For some reason, I don't know why, but shitstorms always like to occur around the Wednesday pre-podcasting time. Maybe it's me. I don't know.
You might have a hand in that.
there's been a lot of drama going on. And first, obviously, let's get the big Bigfoot out of the room, I guess, or elephant, as you guys in the States like to call them. We call them big feet.
Is it really what it is? You guys fucking, everybody out there looking for Bigfoot, it's just Canadians lost something in translation and they're just looking for an elephant out in the fucking woods? Is that...
I mean, there is no elephants up there. I don't know why people think that that's a native species to Canada, but it's not. But let's talk about Eternal Masters, because on Monday morning, family day up here in Canada, and I don't know, some holiday in the States, Wizards of the Coast decided to just drop out of the blue. Well, I won't say out of the blue. I'll say out of the blue in terms of what a lot of people were discounting the rumor as. But if you follow the proxy guy, if you follow a few people... in the community, of course, if you follow MTG Deep Throat, you would have known. Apparently, apparently it's not one of us. First of all, I must clear that.
I tried telling the internet it was me, but nobody would fucking listen. Okay.
To their own peril, right? Apparently, Eternal Masters is for real. We don't know what the card lists are, even though apparently for $25,000 you could buy it right now. Force of Will and Wasteland, huge announcement, paper set this summer. No GP though, which is very bizarre. Helen even confirmed that, which I find baffling. I find that just completely baffling why you wouldn't do that, but we'll get into that in a bit. But what are your guys' impressions on this announcement, and do you believe that the reason why it wasn't brought up at the Pro Tour was because it's just too big an announcement and it would have just completely derailed the narrative of the Pro Tour entirely, and they just didn't want that?
I think it was a little odd they didn't bring it up at the Pro Tour, and like you said, it was a little weird to like just drop something like this on like a random Wednesday, but yeah. I think they had their hand forced and people pretty much knew already.
Isn't that kind of the same thing that happened with the fucking twin ban? Like they just kind of were forced into fucking,
Whoa. I got to stop you both. Are you saying that this wasn't a planned announcement and that they had their hand forced?
I'm sure it was a planned announcement here in the near future. They probably had some idea of when they were going to announce it, but because it got forced by this whole fucking leak thing,
leaks weren't around until the set was released.
Well, apparently enough people knew it was real, so I guess they figured why not just drop it.
I feel like that's what's gonna happen
on like a Monday or something like that, but
right,
like the twin banning, they just, you know, if people found out and they just released it.
I'll say this, we were all here for when Modern Masters got announced, and that was big news. But somehow I feel like Eternal Masters is bigger news. And in a way, not that what the set, like not even in the way of what cards are being printed in it, just the ramifications that a lot of people feel that Magic is not a game. It is an investment. And that I moved a lot of money into this investment that continually gains and never loses. Mm-hmm. And that a lot of people, at least from my perspective, is any talk of this, there is two camps. There's the people that are threatened by it, and there's the people that are ecstatic by it. Of course, there's people in the middle that are just like numb to the whole thing and just like, they're going to make another draft format of garbage with Force Will Lottery. But I really feel like this is set, at least for me, it feels like a lot of people on fire, just very, very polar views of why are they doing this? Is it good? Is it bad?
I feel like it's a combination. Like it seems so fucking like huge compared to like some of the shit that's happened recently, you know, I guess for lack of a better term, like controversial things, whether it be, you know, again, the twin banning, like accidentally them having to bring it up early, or just, you know, some of the bannings, like all the controversial shit that's happened recently. I think that it is a big deal. Like, I mean, like the ramifications of this are huge. And then if you add on the fact that like, it seems like, I don't know, every month or so now, something ridiculous is happening that hasn't happened before as far as leaks go and the controversy surrounding it and shit like that. So it's just, it's getting to the point where I think that it's reaching a fever pitch where now, you know, had this just say for sake of argument, had this set been announced fucking 2 years ago, like, people would have been like, just like Modern Masters, like, oh shit, crazy, you know, fucking, we're getting this fucking awesome set with all these reprints and stuff. But because everything has gone haywire lately, and I hate to sound like that guy again, but it's like Wizards can't seem to keep a lid on shit, and everything is starting to get leaked, and like everything's starting to change. It's like them really getting into changing things too. I think that's what's made like all of this that much bigger.
It's also a delayed reaction to Legacy, and I would have rather have just seen another Modern Masters set, because it's not really helping Legacy because what we've seen, and it wasn't that hard to predict. A lot of people said like, oh man, the reserve list stuff is just going to spike. And that's what happened. So it's not helping Legacy.
I really thought I was like the only, like, I was starting to think I was like crazy. Like, I'm like, yeah, I mean, Eternal Masters is great. And I think like people, I don't know, specific people or people just out there that are like, you know, every time you try to look at something objectively and are like, oh, you know, you're just trying to trash something that Wizards is trying to do. And like, it's a good thing. Yeah, it is a good thing. I'm really excited for Eternal Masters, but I really would have preferred another Modern Masters for everything that just JR brought up.
Yeah. You know, I think the one thing that has become synonymous for me, at least in terms of communicating, is meeting expectations. I think Wizards of the Coast does not understand what the expectations of the community is. And if you had a pulse on the community, even if you just had a person sit and monitor Twitter, the top 5,000, you know, MTG people on Twitter, you would get a very clear idea that people want reprints. Not only do they want reprints, but they want, like, there's the community that wants modern reprints and that have realized or written off the fact that, yeah, reserve list cards, I'll never own them. I don't care. That format is cancer. And I'm just, I don't want any part of it because it's a deal that was made at a time that will never be fixed. Mm. And then there are a bunch of people that believe the reserve list should be abolished and Wizards should reprint Duel Lands, which in my opinion, and I'm going to crystal clear state this on cast, the reserve list will never be abolished. It is something that I believe it is a profit formula of risk, that the current total of reserve list cards do not equal the profitability of reprinting them. It's not happening. And I think a lot of newer players have come to that wall where they play Magic, they go through the formats, limited, standard, modern, and then they hit this wall. Although I believe maybe even they hit a wall at Modern now because of the prices. But if they want to move past it into something that's more secure, because you look at a player who hits Modern and then they're like, oh shit, my twin deck got banned. They're not really excited about playing Eldrazi. What they want to do is they want to go, what's the next format down? The one that doesn't get banned. Oh, it's Legacy? Oh, great. Oh shit, how much are Duel Lands? And I think a lot of people, once they're at that point in their journey in Magic, they'd really like to see something besides this wall of the reserve list where Wizards of the Coast won't do anything and the private market is doing whatever the fuck they want with it. It's the Wild West. And so when you release a product called Eternal Masters, the expectations is we're finally going to get momentum. We're finally going to do something. And I think a lot of people, including me, was initially at this announcement excited and being from a positive standpoint that, wow, finally, we have a solution to the reserve list. And it's not abolishing it. It's not destroying Vintage. It's not destroying Legacy. It's providing a new format called Eternal, which essentially, in my mind, would just be everything but reserve list cards. And, of course, caveat, as any new format starts, there's some pruning. There's some tweaking. It's brand new. But at least it would offer a point at which Wizards had 100% control over reprints. Mm-hmm. That no more would you ever hear, oh, you know that card? We can't print it again. And so if you look at like MTGO and how they handled the basically reprinting everything on there, to me it had hope for what paper could be. And that is, once something gets expensive, bring it down. There's no need to wait 15 years between reprints. Like, you could very easily have sets, like we've said multiple times, and just sustained reprint pressure and bring the prices down, not to zero, just a bit, and over time create a much more stable environment in terms of pricing. And that was the hope of, I think, a lot of people. And I understand fully the other side of the argument that is like, hey, I spent $10,000 on Duel Lands. Fuck you. You're an asshole for even suggesting this format, and you're going to ruin Legacy. And the counter argument was, I'm not ruining your format. And I understand what they say. And I'll read between the lines, and I'll say this. I understand that they're trying to communicate to me that, yeah, you're going to give me Legacy, but who the fuck's going to play it? Because everyone's not going to play this format anymore. Because why would you? And my statement to that is, look, guys, if you're playing a format that costs $10,000 because it's cost $10,000 and not because there's another alternative, that's the only reason you're doing it, you have to realize people are smart. They're going to try to find a way to circumvent this and play as much, not 100%, but as much of that format as possible in another way that's much cheaper. Whether Eternal is that solution or not, I don't know. But, you know, allowing people and the community to explore that, I think is a good thing. I think if you look at Canadian Highlander, Tiny Leaders, Commander, I don't know, a billion formats that are created every year, this is the nature of the game. It's about new formats. It's about seeing how deep the infinite hole of Magic is and trying to pull out a way to play it in a different way. And I think, you know, the attacking nature of certain entities in the Magic community at the mere mention of Eternal has been, for me, shocking.
Well, I don't think a couple thoughts on that. And Didn't Commander, I mean, at one point would have had to gone through those growing pains at one point, and now everyone loves Commander. I mean, you'd have to think there was just as much pushback when Commander was just an idea that people were just brewing up. Oh, that's stupid. No one wants to play these giant, dumb, like, 10-mana crappy cards.
Chaz, on this cast, I believe we were some of those people saying, I mean, we weren't attacking people for playing Commander. We tried. Me and Kevy actually tried to play Commander with Norbs and Durfington. And our experience was just bad because it was very new. But at the point, we played a two-hour game, and we were just like, can someone kill me? Because I don't want to be here no more.
You know,
that's still how I do it.
I mean, people can still keep Legacy. People can still play, you know, keep Vintage. They can have all that, you know, $15,000 invested into Duel Lands. And I was just talking about this on we recorded our cast earlier today, where what was interesting was when you think about, like, the release of Eternal Masters, and you get so excited because it's the what if. Is Wizards going to do something now? Is there, like, more to this?
Exactly.
Maybe something's on the plate for them. And you think, you know, they can have it both ways. They can honestly have it both ways. They can keep their promise, and they can have a new format back, you know, in the old days of Standard, Extended, and Legacy, where they have three formats again, and three formats where they don't always have to worry about the reserve list anymore. They're printing already Eternal Masters, so it's not like they have to devote anything new to it. They already announced it, and they can keep the promise to the players that they made, you know, however long ago, and they'll never reprint those cards. Because short of them saying, we're never going to reprint these cards, that's their promise, that doesn't mean any of those cards have to be relevant in any constructed format.
Yep.
All it means is these cards will never be reprinted, and they can keep that promise to everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, here's one thing
with the Eternal format. Like, right now, I'm sure WotC is saying to us, like, yeah, we can't. That would just be stupid to have, you know, five major formats.
Right.
But it's not the point. The point is, like, the community over time, I think, will gravitate towards this, and WotC will gravitate towards it because it sort of makes sense. And yeah,
right. It's an evolution.
You lose a decent bit, but
right.
You know.
Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, it's the greatest thing, like, everyone should do it, because I don't even know if it's even, you know, anything that anyone says. Oh, is it interesting? What does the format look like without duels or the reserve list? Like, isn't it just modern?
Yeah.
Like,
and I think the deeper
modern
question is,
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So what Corbin was saying, like, what's the problem with modern exactly? And I think there are three problems. One, it's still too expensive. Two, the bans are such that it's not an eternal format. It doesn't feel like an eternal format.
They don't even recognize it as an eternal format. So.
And three, you can't really play, you know, another feature of old formats is you can play whatever deck you want. Yeah. And right now you can't really play a classic, you know, blue control deck with only a couple finishers. It's just,
yeah, exactly.
You're still leaving 10 years of Magic on the table. I mean,
yeah. And now here's the one thing that, Polish Jamal is, a huge friend of the cast. I haven't heard from him in a while. But me and him were going back and forth about this, and he brought up an interesting point, and that is, if you have to look at Magic going forward, you know, Wizards of the Coast. A lot of people like to say, oh, you're not looking at this from a business standpoint. I run businesses. I am 100% looking at it from a business standpoint. But I have a long-term view, and that is, if I have a movie coming out and the player base could, you know, whatever my risk factors are, it could grow 100%, 200%, I don't know. I have to have slots for these people. Not everybody is going to go play Limited. Not every new player's journey will enter at Limited. Some people who are 40 years old finding Magic for the first time may be like, fuck it, what's the most expensive format I can play? Boom, they're going right to Vintage. I don't know. The point is, though, if I had officially supported formats, I would want to have pillars. And those pillars would be obviously Limited, Standard, Modern, and Eternal. And here's the logic. If I enter into Standard, my deck eventually after 18 months is no good. So hopefully, what, 30, 40% of it is Modern playable? Great. And I move my deck into Modern, and I buy a couple more cards, and now I have a Modern deck. And that seems to be kind of the process. Now, where Eternal fits in so great is, oh, well, now we can prune. So Modern now has the ability to be pruned aggressively. We could switch it up every year if we want. We could aggressively ban cards because you're like, oop, Twin got banned. I guess I'll just play Eternal with it. And that really is appealing, especially to me, someone who's not trying to build Modern decks, who's trying to play the format, which I take that advice from a lot of the guys on the MTG Goldfish crew who kind of convinced me, reading all the articles and knowledge they have, that investing in a deck is stupid. Invest in the format, and then bans are less painful. But at the same time, if you offered me the cushion of an Eternal format, man, I feel as a player, like spending thousands of dollars, let's not kid ourselves, getting into this game, I feel very safe. You know, I'd be like, I played Standard. Ah, well, you know, I moved my Thoughtseize and my Monster and Mentors into Modern. Oh, well, I don't know. Some card got banned. Well, great. Those cards are still playable in Eternal. And through the cycle, I don't leave. I just shift. Yep. Now, a lot of people say, well, what's the problem with Legacy? Well, it's dual lands. It's the fact that those cards, the shift from Modern to Legacy is drastic. If you look at the price of a Standard deck,
don't you still have the same issue with like they're going to progressively get more expensive? So like, you know, the fact that we have such a price with the or such a problem with the price of Modern as it sits now, you're essentially.
But do you know why?
You're just essentially tacking on more money to Modern for an Eternal format.
No, I actually think in 5 years or however, whenever that Eternal format gets around, I think it'll be cheaper than Modern. And here's why. Modern right now is expensive because it was where everybody went. I want to play the supported format that has the largest card pool. What is that?
Right.
It's Modern. Well, and, it's modern. You know, and that's what it is. And that's what it is. The problem with it is Wizards of the Coast kind of wants Modern to be a style of format, which is like aggro-based, smash your dudes. They don't want Force of Will counters and that whole Legacy style blue game.
I don't know if that's true, but
that feels like it is.
Well, the Force of Will thing, the argument was that if you added Force of Will into Modern, it would just go with Twin, and then it wouldn't be used defensively. It would be used to...
Right. So to protect a combo. Yeah. So here's what's awesome. If you had Eternal, you can service both people. The people who want to play that super controlling counter, counter, counter war combo you out turn two, they can do it in Eternal.
Smashing dudes and servicing people. I love this.
Yeah, pretty much, right?
Yeah. It is scary for them. Right? It is scary to, like, quote-unquote cannibalize, like...
Would you?
It would effectively replace Legacy in terms of their, like,
right,
resource
but, I mean, where is it going now?
Yeah.
But is that, but Legacy's dying anyways.
It wasn't really rhetorical. I mean, where is it going? I mean, it's down. It's lower than it's ever been.
Yeah, and if you look at, if you take a world view and look at this from the sky, and you look at 5 years out, and you say, we let Legacy die like Vintage. Well, it doesn't die. These formats don't die. They just become collector items. And that's really what it is. It is. Like, I look at online, 90% of the tweets about I got a Mox, I got a Lotus, I got my power, isn't about playing the cards. It's about putting them in a
binder.
It's
so funny. Richard said earlier today, it's so funny that you brought this up, because he's like, it's so funny. Like, every time you talk about Legacy, right? Every time, like, anything happens to Legacy, all these people get so upset. Everyone suddenly gets heard about Legacy and all this community. Yep. Yet you show up to a Legacy tournament that week, like, three people show up. So I don't know where they all are. So it's like
– I mean
– they're all active on social media and Facebook and all this. And then where are they showing up to play Legacy? Well, so.
And that's exactly it. You've got one – like, you got one in every county, and that's about it. And so, like, they're like, oh, well, I'm not going to actually drive two counties away to go to this fucking thing. You know,
I'll complain about it on Twitter.
I'm going to – JR is going to understand. I'm going to say something. Hold on.
Around. That's the whole thing. Is they want that fucking they aren't gonna make it to this Legacy event or that one, but they still want the option to be there because they spent so much goddamn money on their Legacy deck. They're like, well, fuck, I don't want the format to go away. I mean, if I do feel like getting off my ass a year from now to go to a Legacy tournament, I want it to still be supported. But yeah, I'm not going to that one.
Yeah. And we're talking about like a certain number of decks here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's...
Yeah, well, of course. Now, listen, I'm going to say something that JR is probably going to get. Now, it might go over a few other people, but, like, follow me.
Oh, yeah. So you're basically saying JR's going to get this, but other two people here are not going to get this.
No, because he specializes in history. So, like, he's going to get it quicker. Not that you won't get it. But long ago, in the 1600s and even probably before that, Hold on. The currency that was used was art. And that's how you moved money. You bought a $2 million painting, and then you took that painting on a boat to Brooklyn, and you sold it for $2 million. And that's how you'd be able to move money tax-free. Now, the issue is, Magic and the reserve list is very, very similar. And so a lot of people who are invested in the tens of thousands of dollars into these dual lands, into all these reserve list cards, which they know are the safest money in Magic, maybe even in the stock market, for Christ's sakes, for all I know, right? Actually, he's probably right. Full art, old lands are good. But the point is, that is where the animosity comes from, I feel. Because if you just had a bunch of random cards that were worth 40 cents because you liked a format, like, I don't think you would attack people and you would get so upset and worked into a fervor that someone is suggesting a format that your binder of $20,000 is now worth a bunch of nothing.
Unless you just bought those cards, people lose sight of the fact that they forget they bought those cards for $10 and it's just gone on for so long that now, like, to be honest, I just may start selling my dual lands because when the announcement came out on Monday, and that's another frustrating thing, twice now in the past month or so, I had like some spare time where I wanted to play Magic and had to, again, like, get out the spreadsheet and think about buying and selling stuff to not get screwed, you know.
Dude, it's crazy. And I just, like, if you look at, like, what – if you love this game, right? And I know there's people that play it on a multitude of levels, and I respect every one of you. Like, Popper, I love it. Good for you. You know, everyone who's playing it on all these different formats.
You.
It's not an insult. I'm trying to be positive. Like, I love that this game is played on all those levels. The problem is, like, the reserve list has been around for 20 years, so a lot of people think that's the norm. That's the way Magic is, and it isn't. It was a deal that was created at a time that has really put a chokehold on the game. And the realization that we may be able to take it off is astounding. And that's why I'm so passionate about, like, any format. I don't give a fuck. Call it whatever you want. Maybe it's Eternal, maybe it isn't. I don't know. But a format that allows us to finally move past this stranglehold of the reserve list and allow, if Wizards of the Coast said, holy shit, there is a million people wanting to play Eternal. Well, guess what? All dual land, all snow covered dual lands, box list, whatever. Fucking box formats, deck list, I don't know. The point is, it's there. It's all there. And I think as the game, if you want this game to last 40 years, it has to get to a point where we offer people that play experience and they don't have to have a mortgage on a house. It really does.
The whole thing where the average older player that has money wants to play older formats, which we were trying to coax Mark Rosewater.
Well, it's nostalgic into, too.
Into asking that. If Mark Rosewater were to say, pick one of four. I have money and I play standard, or I have I have money and I only have time for modern, or I don't really have the money for, and you would see that very clearly, the older, more established players financially probably have less time and gravitate towards modern. But in terms of Legacy, literally on Monday, I was maybe I should buy, I almost have Legacy Storm together. Not that I've ever really played it aside from just testing and fucking around, but I was I'm two LEDs short. Maybe I should just buy the LEDs today. And then I woke up the next day. Actually, I think it was Chaz's tweet where LEDs, were already up $60 or something. And then the next day I was instead of completing the deck, maybe I should just sell the deck. That one day I was just because it was just clearly this is not really going to help Legacy. And
that's crazy, though. I have to admit, that kind of logic, even I suffer a bit from it, trying to build a modern format. It's just you're right. At any point, you're sitting there saying, I hate that part of it. I really do. I understand knowledge is power and, it's good to be informed. But like you, it's that, negative reinforcement that, holy shit, you better, you have to be on top of it at all times. It really is wearing.
Yeah.
And I would just, like I said a couple weeks ago, I just love to find a balance, let's have a more stable,
I think a format like that would be a little more stable, because then you kind of, you relieve the pressure of modern. And you're right. I mean, let's say they ban Twin, right? Let's say they ban something in modern, you built the deck. It's still legal in Eternal. Or whatever you want to call it.
And because you've nerfed all those broken cards, it's probably not bad.
Right.
I know a lot of people are saying it would be burn versus hate or death and taxes, but I don't believe that. I really feel there's some exploring there and some really good brewers need to get in. But
right. But
how awesome? How awesome would it be? 2017, Pro Tour format, Eternal Masters, Modern, Standard, Limited. What?
We have a great solution to this in the dungeon here when we play. It's called it's called Vintage if you can afford the cards. It works out great. There's not a lot of financial pressure.
Garage sale Vintage. I like it.
Exactly. It's just I mean, we're basically playing Vintage rules at this point, but that's just with the cards that we're willing to pay for.
I mean, listen, my whole stance was, it's an idea worth pursuing. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, it's amazing. I haven't even sat down, really looked at anything other than, I mean, Seth wrote a really good piece about no reserve list Legacy. But outside of that, I mean, it's not like a really, well-known pros or even just community figures got down, sat together and, started just slinging some cards. And how do you even know burn is going to be that good? How do you know? You don't know. Yeah. If I can sit here and say, I don't know, then how do you know? You don't. So
even look at this. We can't even predict the modern metagame. Right. So don't tell me you know what that is. I'm gonna just jump in with a quick pre-Twitter whole question because it's relevant to the discussion at the moment. Marco Mondragon says, "I love Legacy. Why do you hate me and everyone else that enjoys the actual best constructive format in MTG Legacy?" Mark, dude, that's the thing. I think everyone who's invested in Legacy has had this outlook that everything that happens in Magic is against them because they're playing a format that is a result of the reserve list. And you're upset that I bought in, but now wait a minute, you guys might have an option to play a format without buying in? That's not fair. And that's wrong.
Dude,
if you love your
but
here's the thing, if that's not true and you love Legacy because it's awesome, then what are you worried about?
But,
Legacy isn't going to go anywhere. Like, it's going to still be there. Fuck, people play 94 Magic. Like, it's if you love your format and people love it too, it's no new format will threaten your format. That's not true. If, however, a new format offers better value than your format, then tough shit, fucking Nancy, suck it up. Like, guess what? You're playing an overvalued format. Huh? Like, it's not rocket science. That's just the nature of the game. People went to Modern because it was the first time we were offered a format that was cheaper than Legacy. If Eternal happens, if people leave, then they left not because they loved Legacy or they loved Eternal over Legacy. It was because they wanted something that was better value. Period.
Yeah, I mean, if you're feeling threatened for, you know, all this talk, I mean, you should be threatened already. I mean, people are already playing Modern, so I don't know. I don't understand where you're coming from. Where, I mean, they're already doing that. They're already playing.
I mean, SCG canceled the Legacy series.
Yeah,
like,
and like no one here is talking about killing Legacy. I mean, it's already
happened.
Nobody. Because of anything we said. I mean, just look. I mean, what, 2 GPs a year? I mean, that maybe will stay around for how much longer? And you know,
I mean, I honestly don't think Legacy has killed. I think Legacy, like Vintage, has hit its minimum player base. Like, it's these people won't leave. Like, people I know that have 10,000 in a deck, they don't give a fuck. Like, they're not selling their deck to play Modern. They're just like, fuck it. I have my deck. It took me 3 years to build it. I want to be rewarded for taking 3 years to build this deck. So fuck you. And they're very clear about their stance that this was a challenge that they achieved and this is their deck. And I love them for it. Like, I think that's great. It's just not what I want to do. And
I mean,
I don't understand the attack.
Why do you hate Boost Cube so much? You just want to kill all of his lands.
I know, right?
I don't understand why they're, I mean, I just don't understand why, you know, so much belligerent talk. I mean, dual lands are going to, I mean, going to the point where they're just going to end up like Black Lotus. I mean, it's just, they're just collector items.
Chaz, you bring up a great point. So I was at Face to Face, and we were talking about dual lands, and someone brought the point to me when I brought in my binder, and I had a few dual lands, and I think I sent my underground seed to Proxy Guy because he wanted it to finish set. But the point was, they were like, at what point do you put these in a hard case?
Right.
You know, at what point do you not play with it? Because if it's $500, like if I said this dual land's worth $500, but if you sleeve it and play with it, it's $400. That's a cost. So we're there. Like, guys, like, the format will die not because of Eternal or because someone wants to play a new format. It will die because that piece of cardboard is worth $1,000 and only crazy people or rich people will put that in a sleeve.
It's also why they.
I was just talking to fucking Jeff Woods on Twitter about, like, a couple other people actually too, about like the fucking collector's edition Power Nine.
Yeah.
They're not even like, I mean, not dual lands, but like still, like, you're talking collector's edition. They're not even fucking legal for play, and the ridiculous amount of money that it costs for like a fucking set of those, like, it just, it blows my mind why you would actually,
because
they
are not Magic cards. They have transcended into collectible items.
Yep. Which is what I've been saying about this
fucking
Sanctioned
Magic listing. Anyway, really.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, maybe. Now let's all talk about the real thing that I think has gotten a lot of people right in the heart, right in the fucking soul, that the news that Wizards pre-leaks sets to vendors. This is all hearsay, but it appears. Yeah, I mean, I don't have any facts. It's just a couple of Twitter accounts and, you know, general Reddit threads. But it really does appear a trend. And, you know, yes, we knew TSG. Hold on. We've talked to TSG. We've talked to a few people who've been around, who've sold, you know, a lot of cards that have been deep inside the store kind of realm of things. And, you know, they operate at a level that's different. Yeah, I mean, they operate on a level that's different from the player, and they do that probably because they have to run a store and they have to be ahead of the game. But knowledge is power, as we all know. And this isn't, you know, this didn't blow my mind because I've heard this story for 5-6 years now that stores know what's going on. And it kind of brings up, oh, man, some bad feels here. Like, does Wizards do that? Or do they not do that? Like, what's going on there? Like, what do you guys think?
Well, I know for a fact that they consult big vendors. I mean, Chas Andres had a whole series on Star City Games about them bringing in, you know, buyers or what, you know, what have you, from big stores talking about the reserve list. So I know they converse
with
them.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
I mean, we all knew that there was the, when modern, I think it was the modern format was going to be created or no, it was right before that. They brought in Ben, from Star
right,
City.
Ben,
they,
right,
yeah.
Ben,
yeah. And
right.
They were talking, Ben Blywise, and they were talking about, the potential of actually breaking the reserve list. And, you know, it was a conference NDA that was held, but I don't think that's necessarily what a lot of people are talking about. Like, obviously with huge decisions like that, they probably need real
right,
ground feet.
But where, what yeah. I was getting at is, other than that, I don't think they deliberately, you know, wet stores in on this kind of information.
Do you think then it's just horrible, horrible security protocols at
yes.
this point? Like,
yes.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, because I wonder, like,
exactly how hard. I mean, you know more about that because you're like in that sort of industry. Like, I have no idea, like, how many people exactly have to get involved to, like, print a set of cards and.
A lot.
It's like really, it's
all
a popular
it,
game.
It really,
the more popular the game gets, the more the people like know like what's going on. Like, you know,
I mean, all it would take is someone to steal something and it's out. I mean, I think
I mean,
it's that easy.
I'll say this. I'll say this. If it's
they've released, you know, statements saying that what you're seeing is stolen material. And when someone steals mm-hmm. something and leaks it to, you know, a vendor or something like that, and that's, you know, advantageous for them. I mean, that's really it. Or, you know, if people are talking to employees, that's one thing, and they get information out of them.
Yeah, these print shops aren't used to actually printing money. That's the problem.
Yeah, it really. Yeah, I mean, if it's anything like when I used to work the record industry, making albums and that, like, we would have 6 months. We'd have the album, the graphic, and then a lot of times I'd have to go to several printers. If they were doing a million run, right? Like, because you'd want 250,000 at one print shop, and you'd want to have it packaged, delivered, and sent out to one distribution center, and then you'd have another printer running a separate run for another. So if Magic is like 100 times bigger than that, like, I would imagine each set is done from multiple printers. So if you imagine you've got project managers and then you've probably got 30 people at each print shop that are that have access to this. I mean, I'm all for security, guys. I'm all for holding the mystery in and allowing Wizards to tell the narrative. But dude, this game is big and it's only growing. Yeah. So I feel like this is kind of par for the course, and it's sad that maybe certain individuals are taking advantage of those security protocols and saying, hey, I mean, if I know about Eternal Masters, it's going to save me $50,000-$60,000. Maybe I'll try to make a few contacts at X printing shop. So
that's what I reckon is happening. Yes.
Also, you have to look at this. Once one guy tweets a pack on Reddit and sees he gets a 250,000 views, he goes to his friends, or even his friends. Like, if I worked in a print shop and printed Magic and I was like, oh my God, I gotta be quiet about this. And I was like, obviously I'm gonna follow Magic. I'm gonna go online. Holy shit, this guy's got 250,000 views. He's popular as shit. Maybe I'm gonna be like, oh shit, I'm gonna have a package of Eldritch Moon go missing tomorrow, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll reach in the discard bin and take some mythics that were fails. I mean, I don't know how you stop this. I know a lot of people are just attacking Wizards and saying, ah, it's your fault, it's your fault. But guys, like, I don't know. I really don't know how you control that.
Well, they have to, they really have to put a clamp on it.
Aside from an in-house printer, like an in-house printing company.
That should be something. If you look at like the trend of China and the trend of fakes, I don't know. I really do think, like, if they're making 150, I believe was the last.
Well, see, here's the problem. Here's the problem, though.
Why a fucking $20 million print shop, guys.
Here's the problem with that, though, is like if it were drastically impacting them as a business or their profits, yeah, of course they want to keep their shit private. They don't want it to be seen as like leaking out this product to vendors or anything like that, and they're trying to put the kibosh on that as quick as they can. They're like, look, this shit was stolen, blah 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 blah. But they're not making or losing any fucking money off of these leaks that are happening. It's the vendors themselves that are making or losing whatever money off of this. So it really doesn't affect their business model at all. So it's not really worth it for them to go out and get a print shop to keep this shit from happening.
Yeah, especially I think they think of themselves very much as like an IP brand company. So I don't know if they manufacture toys at all, really. Like they contract all that shit out. Just, you know.
Yep.
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 Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. I mean, sitting there handing out, you know, Eternal Master lists. Yeah. To
they don't have vats of Play-Doh.
They're definitely not doing that.
Right.
I can see, as this game becomes so expensive, the lure of a lot of this information, you know?
I guess the big thing, or the question to be here is, like, there's everything we just talked about, as far as, like, the print shops and shit like that, it's one thing when we're seeing these leaks, like the Expedition leaks that came out. Like, physical cards got leaked because there were fucking pictures on fucking, not Reddit, what's that, the pictures, Imgur. Or whatever. That's one thing. That directly points you to, like, okay, somebody from the print shop fucking took some pictures, posted them on the fucking, on the internet. Yep. But, like, this list, like, what business would a print shop have having just a list of names of cards that are being reprinted? This I don't know, to me seems a little different. Like, you know, it'd be one thing if we got a bunch of pictures of fucking reprints that were happening just like the last time, but, like, you know, this, it's like, okay, well, why would they just be sending a list of the cards that are, like, a text list of the cards that are going to be reprinted?
Because it's less incriminating than taking a picture of the sheet.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what, though? No, it's also...
What I mean is, why would Wizards be sending that information out?
What JR is saying is, like, the people at the print shop look at the card, they type it on a list.
Oh, I get you. What
Kevy's saying is that, like, it's not, like, a real leak from, like, someone in, like, actual Watts.
If it was, but, like, a legit list, that would, I think that would be, like, R&D, wouldn't it? That'd be, like, real deep in there.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at it from this point, right, why does Wizards so vehemently defend the reserve list? Because they don't want to be sued. Okay, so now they tested Modern, and... Yeah, if you go look back, man, Modern, there was a bit of a shitstorm. A lot of people are like, what the fuck are you reprinting stuff? They were all worried. And then it came out and everyone was like, oh, it wasn't too bad. But maybe they are a little scared. They're still probably scared of Chronicles, honestly. And they're like, oh, man, what if someone's sitting on, like, a store? Like, imagine a big store, like SCG. What do they have? $1 million in Eternal kind of format staples? Like, they must have a shit ton of money. And so you might want to just say, hey, guys, can you buy a little extra, you know, Shadows over Innistrad and Eldritch Moon from us? We're going to tell you what's coming on. Like, they could – look, guys, I've been in business. It happens because they're very scared. What if a store, like, it really is, you look at Magic, it's a monopoly. There's like four or five huge stores that probably buy half of the product. So, like, I don't know, man. It really does make me wonder if someone in sales is like, I want to make sure I don't piss off my clients. And they're like, hey, I'm just going to let you know, text format here, don't share this. But, you know, you might want to stop buying so aggressively, or you might want to start moving. Those are conversations real people have over dinners. And if the guy is to be believed, he heard two reps at a GP talking. Like, first of all, guys, okay, you do have a security problem if you do not tell your reps, shut the fuck up, when you are not inside the walls of Wizards of the Coast.
Like, what kind of, like, formal, like, metaphorical walls do they have? Like, can people in R&D just talk to, like, a guy in sales? And just, like, talk to, like, I don't think so. I don't think a guy in R&D could just go up to a person in sales and just start talking about future league. I would be shocked. Yeah. But of course, after work, whatever. Yeah, so.
I mean, you think, sure, but also, like, you've seen that building. Like, it's not huge. You know, I'm going to go up to floor 4 and walk around. It doesn't take a lot for a couple people to, like, I mean, I've been in a business. Rumors spread. Hey, guys, like, you don't think if R&D was working on Eternal Masters, they're in the lunchroom like, holy shit, I can't. Did you see the new Force of Will Tyrese Nelson artwork? Yeah, yeah, like, it's going to get around. Like, I totally believe internally there's no stopping that.
Human nature to fucking gossip. Like, you know, to your metaphor, like, you know, fucking you and I work at Wizards and we work on fucking different floors and different fucking departments, but then when we're bullshitting together after fucking work, of course, the people that work at Wizards are passionate about the shit that they fucking do. You know, they're not just random employees. They're like, I don't really give a shit about what I do. I just show up here to get a paycheck. They're all passionate about this game and about what they do. And yeah, you're going to get excited and you're going to want to bullshit to somebody. And you're gonna, you know, maybe it's that classic line like, oh, hey, don't tell anybody I fucking told you this, but this shit happened. And then you say that to the wrong fucking guy, or that guy was just like, oh man, you told me that in confidence. I'm not gonna tell anybody except for my wife. And your wife works at a fucking print shop, like fucking whatever. Yeah. Like,
they should just have a very clear policy. Like, there should be very clear expectations and penalties. Yeah. And you know, it's one thing if you tell someone something over a drink, but if that person goes out.
It's why it's very disturbing. I mean, nothing's really stopping any of these people from going out and buying any of these cars that they know will or will not be reprinted. Maybe then it's like, oh, I see you're buying like this. Well, you know, can give you a discount. You know, maybe you give us some information.
Why are you buying this?
Yeah.
Right? Like,
here's
the thing, guys.
Wizard, so what's going on?
Yeah. Like, here's the other thing. Go read Glass Ceiling. I mean, these people aren't paid well. So, like, you know, these are the top. Wizards kind of does take advantage of certain people to be like, hey, you're making magic, so you got to take a 20% haircut on your pay. So maybe, you know, there are people. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not accusing any individuals, but like in a theoretical environment like that, maybe I would be looking to be like, hey, I'm going to go to the store. If I know Force Wills, I'm going to sell my Force Wills. Hey, you work at Wizards. Why are you selling your Force Wills? Like there's no even if you say nothing, it casts legacy's fucked, dude. I just think, like, lately there's been a lot of what the fuck moments from people who view what Wizards narrative is, and it's just like, what is going on? Like, how is this allowed? I just don't get it. And maybe we'll see changes.
All this vendor stuff is very disturbing. I mean, I will say this. I mean, people want to joke about it on, you know, Twitter or whatever, you know, I'm being, you know, who's getting investigated or who's being detained for information. But, I mean, it is very serious.
Yeah, based on the
volume,
it
is kind of disturbing.
Based on the volume on Twitter, it seems like multiple vendors. It doesn't seem like just one. Just based on, like, of course, people could just be. So I know, like, none of us really know anything about it. It's all.
I don't. But, you know, I said this emphatically over Twitter. I mean, you know, I don't want no part of this. It's like, it just casts like a big cloud over what already could be viewed as like a very shady, you know,
insider kind of environment.
Right. Like MTG finance, when you quote unquote, you know, you air quote it. No, I'm serious. And, you know,
no, I hear you, couple, man. I hear you.
You know, kind of ruins it for. What I mean, the original intent of what, you know, myself and I know very, you know, other people out there, and that's really to, you know, help people out there continue to afford playing this game, and that's really why I got into it in the beginning. And this is way, you know, this is even back when like Inquest and Scry and like before all these like websites started coming out and all these writers, you know, you take the precautions to try and, you know, move some cards to be able to keep playing the game and like sell some stuff to keep playing the game. So that was really the intent. And it like JR, I mean, you do
in terms of the psycho
talk to people. Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of the psychographics of like MTG finance people, like Andre that's on SEG did this like thing like years ago where, you know, there was like the shark guy who was like just trying to screw people. And then there was, I don't remember what the name was, but he was the guy who was just trying to beat the market and just trying to predict the price and not really move the price, but just try to, like, you know, buy low, sell high. So that's probably like, I mean, I definitely, and Maddie too, you have to admit, like, you used to enjoy the Magic Finance.
I did.
And then
100%,
at some point,
dude,
it became too much. It just overwhelmed.
That's exactly the problem right there. It's a product, right. I really think, of this. Like, the price is going up. Yeah, that's fucking inevitable. Like, it's going to happen. But it's a product of this game getting so fucking popular that, like, back then, and I hate saying back then because, Jesus Christ, I haven't even been back in this game that long. It's been a few years. But like, it's back then, it literally was a lot more about that. And like, you know, as far as like MTG Finance, like on a higher level where you were actually just treating it like the fucking stock market, you had a couple guys that were kind of dabbling in doing it, like old fucking Medina back when we, you know, John Medina was doing Pack to Power and shit like
that.
Oh
man,
And then it gradually shifted. It got to the fact that like this game is getting exponentially more popular and exponentially more expensive. And then just like you said earlier, JR, like that, you know, these print shops didn't realize, or they're not used to printing money, and that's what it's become.
Yeah.
It used to be like, yeah, these prices are going to fluctuate, and yeah, you might be spent, you know, aside from your fucking, you know, your Power Nine and shit like that. It basically was, yeah, this card might go up a few bucks. Oh shit, I bought these at $20 and now they're fucking, you know, they dropped to fucking $5. It's like, oh, you know, you take a hit here and there and you're taking a hit on four times that card, where now it's so like people have noticed how expensive these fucking cards are. I mean, on the other side of the board, you got, you know, you're a lot more the frequency of people like stealing binders or backpacks or fucking deck boxes at events is fucking it's getting bigger because people just realize like this is flat out fucking money. You know, it's basically you're not worried about like going all, oh shit, like I stole these fucking jewels from a fucking had a jewel heist going on, stole these jewels and they're traceable because they got a serial number. You're fucking stealing cards that are worth fucking money. But all you have
to do
is leave town or go to a different store and fucking sell them outright for butt tons of cash. And it's like the easiest fucking stealing target ever. They're tiny little pieces of cardboard.
Mm-hmm. You know
they're
what,
smaller
Kevin,
than the dollar bills that they're worth.
I think you just picked the watershed moment for me was when Ginger Italian had his shit stolen, and I just took all the money out of my pocket and I'm like, here, dude, this has got it, like, you're good. And then I realized, holy shit, he actually had like a couple $1,000. Like, I didn't realize, like, holy fuck, that is not easy to fix. Like, and I was kind of like upset. I'm like, how are we going to fix this? Like, you had like 20 guys all pitch in and we didn't even come close to half the value. That's pretty bad, man.
The only thing I'm going to say about that, the bizarre thing about that is that I shipped him I gave him like a little bit of money, and then I shipped him a foil Deathrite, which, again, like fucking, for like he had the bad luck that eventually got banned in Modern. Like I was like,
I know, you shipped him and it gets banned. Yeah.
The weirder thing was like when I showed up the SVU party in Vegas 2 and Lengthy Zemit just like hands me a pack of Return to Ravnica and I crack it and it's a foil Deathrite. That's like one of like my top five coincidences of all time, probably.
That's X-File shit right there. Now here's just because Proxy Guy is almost like he's here in spirit, and to wrap up this segment, Vendor Gates proven false. Just broken now. You could check Reddit. He apologizes. Apparently, whoever it was that did this vendor leak, he's apologizing to Kyle Lopez, Justin Zhao, Derek Madelim, and Jeremy Aronson. So apparently, I don't know who this guy was, but maybe he was trying to piss some people off. Who fucking knows? But
that's a relief because I was just saying to JR, I mean, it's very disturbing. And it's like people we converse with all the time, you know, and it's people that write, you know, articles, or, you know, if you were to treat this like a, you know, a professional setting, like these are your colleagues. And it's like they cast this like dark shadow, no pun intended, shadows over Innistrad.
He's going so deep right now. He's going deep.
That's all it really was.
No shit posting. Twitter hole, which is like all shit posting.
It was really disturbing. So I'm glad that was cleared up at least. So
I mean when you looked at that list, it was alarming in the fact that there's no way Wizards has the balls to just throw that much value into it. Even I was like, come on.
That was one of my first reaction to that list was, I believe my tweet was like, this reads like some neckbeards, what do I wish was reprinted list? Like a wish list. It literally was just like, there's no way this shit is believable. But then the internet caught fire, and I'm the first to admit, I don't pay as much attention as
most of my Twitter friends do to Magic, like the intricacies of the game and reprints and everything that goes along with it. And I was like, holy shit, everybody's getting real upset about this whole thing. Like, maybe this is legit. And I guess in the last couple of days since this has been going on, I lost sight of like my original reaction to it. Like, wait,
you have to be honest.
Silly. Like, why?
You have to be honest when Wizards previews Forth Will and Wasteland. Already your mind has put yourself in that mode of no way. So like any list is looking like crazy. Although it's funny because I was just more pissed, not at Eternal Masters and the value. I was like, whoa, you're going to put all that value in Eternal Masters and shaft the shit out of us in Modern Masters 2? What the fuck? Come on. Even I was looking for the draft strategy. I'm like, there's no draft strategy. This is just random good shit. There's like no draft strategy at all.
And if they didn't have Wasteland, I might have been like, are they going to like just make this set Modern legal? So is Force of Will Modern legal now? But with seeing the Wasteland there, it's like, no, they're not. That would just...
Oh, now you want to... Okay, well, let's keep moving.
Fix Modern. That's my point. Like, it doesn't have to be like the Gordian knot that everyone makes.
I will say this, JR, that Eldrazi has fucked the format. Yes, it's true. Nobody has really come up with anything astounding.
Yeah.
But do you know two cards that are very interesting? Wasteland and Force of Will. Kind of like, fuck the whole have all the mana you want, and we're going to counter any shit. I mean, I personally have been on the fence about like, oh, geez, do you put powerful blue counter spells in Modern? Because it would change. Whether it would be good or bad, I don't know, but it is a huge change. And even Wasteland, like Wasteland in Modern?
I guess like at this point, people are already playing a lot of Ghost Quarter, so at this point, it almost...
Is Wasteland, yeah. But then like running...
I traditionally just enjoyed Modern because you don't have to worry about getting Wastelanded and you could just be greedy with your mana base, but...
It would be interesting. Let's move on to lighter topics and funner topics, which is last week I threw out some crazy theories of Shadows over Innistrad, and Chaz was actually one of the ones that I read his pretty good article about theories of where we're going. And I know this is Vorthosy, but I think it's time. I think we gotta dig deep and see, you know, where is the Magic storyline going? And are we going to a place where Emrakul is a moon and he is, you know, controlling the vampires and the werewolves of the world, and it's humans versus zombies? I don't know, guys.
Shit posting.
Shit posting. I mean, I'm excited. Shadows of Innistrad has got me excited.
Yes.
I even was trying to dig out my old Mayors of Averbrook, and I can't find them still.
I like that card too when it came out.
That's
I was literally like, oh man, yeah. I'm gonna build this rug. At the time, it was when Mental Misstep was legal, and the big Legacy deck was Natural Order Rug. But I didn't have Goyf, so I was like, oh, I'm going to play this as my Goyf, because it's just going to be like such value.
They'll never see it coming, and then I'll be like, I have like so many like wolves.
Yeah. No, you know, it was funny. I started to realize that Cavern of Souls got put out, and I was like, man, what is the best tribe? And people are like, it's elves, it's goblins, it's slivers, and I'm like, it's humans. I'm like, they're going to print more humans than any other type, because it's the relatable to the player base. And so at the time I was like all sold on, you better get your human lords now, you know? So even now I'm like, oh, we're going back to Innistrad. Oh damn, I better get my human lords on, you know, like, ooh, I think there's some green white human lord strategies about to happen here, man. I don't know.
I think we get our legendary werewolf.
Have you been testing any modern though before you like move on totally? Have you been like testing any modern?
I have. So at last point, me and Tony and a few other people were awesome every day on Twitter. You should follow him if you're into brewing. I know a few people asked me, you should follow Tyler the Fro, you should follow Awesome Every Day. Those guys are brewing modern all the time. But we were working on the Eldrazi list when it broke on the Pro Tour, and immediately we switched as we do to the anti-Eldrazi list. Yeah, like we were just instantly, like before the Pro Tour was over, we're like, okay, how do we hate Eldrazi? He was convinced on going Tron, the Tron route, and merging the two, which he's doing pretty good with his success. I thought green white is where I would go. Yeah, I think there's a green white hate list that is pretty good. I don't think it is like incredible against the field. I think it does okay against Eldrazi. But it is nice. I mean, you run Spider.
It should be pretty good against like Affinity.
Affinity though it was already good, right? Yeah, it was running. I mean, you've got all kinds of artifact hate. It's okay. I mean,
your board might still get overwhelmed sometimes, though. You don't have that much.
It does.
Beef.
No, you don't. But I mean, that's modern. Like it's funny that like it really does come down to like almost what you draw. You draw good, you're good. You know, at Cyborg Games, you draw your hate. You're pretty good. Like, you know, it's hard to play that metagame of you're going to bring in your hate, so I'm bringing in my anti-hate. You know, who knows? Like,
yeah. Like I want to fuck around with the enchantments deck. Like, you know, just like the blue prison or the white prison deck. And yeah. There's like so many variants, which is part of the problem. I've just been on this thing, which hasn't happened to me in a while. Usually when I'm brewing, I'll just put a list together, play it online and get through my system. But there's so many different cards I want to play in this deck. And the enchantments prison deck was already almost, it was like a tier three. Like it was almost.
It was 2.5.
Yeah, it was like almost there. It was almost there. And that was at a time when you had twin, you know, mm-hmm. and the other, like, so. Like it got so much better because those were two of its worst matchups because it could just kill you at instant speed basically with like a primeval titan or whatever.
Yeah.
So and it's pretty. It seems like it should have a decent matchup against these. You know, just like a dumb deck that tries to like shit out a bunch of creatures and attack you. So
it is. It is. White Pillow 4 is actually really good. The problem is, it dies pretty fast. To other decks, right? So
well, you can build well. Okay, so against Affinity, that's a thing. So there are so many cards you want. So ideally, you would want the, you know, Stony Silence, maybe even main deck. Probably not, but
yeah, you would, and you'd want at least fieldy, like Rest in Peace main deck.
I don't think you want Rest in Peace. Yes. Well, that's the thing. Like,
oh my god, well, yeah, it shuts,
But that's why I can't get this deck done because there are also when you start to bring in other colors. So blue has. Spreading Seas and copy enchantment, which is like, that's nice.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Plus you have like Supreme Verdict. Like you have like, well, I guess you don't need Supreme Verdict because they're not gonna.
Okay, well here's the question: what's your win con? Heliod.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other question. And I tend to like in my pure enchantment white prison deck, I like the sigil, the empty throne, because when that thing gets going and they're flying and they really get going, I do like Heliod. Like Starfield, I never. Got on. There might be some value
in
the recursion aspect of it because you like, in certain matchups, but yeah, it's just I feel like Heliod is superior to Starfield.
Heliod is really good. That's the original deck like 2 years ago. We'd built Heliod White Prison, and it was really good. It was fun. It wasn't tier one. Like you said, Twin was just like, well, you're fucked.
And Heliod could be good with Worship, too, because it counts as a creature. It is indestructible.
It does. So, it does. But, I'm not sold on Worship.
Yeah, that's another thing. I want to bring Worship,
I am not
but
sold
it's hard
on that.
To support that.
I'm not sold on
Worship. You really need to build a deck. Like, you would need to have, like, Carry Added and, like, you know.
There's a few people trying out some interesting Bant lists. Which are really interesting with Reflector Mage. So Travis, Crazy Squirrel Lord, he's got Reflector Mage, Restoration Angel, and a few other spicy things he was talking about in a Bant list. And then I was mentioning, I'm like, well, what's your pressure? Like, yeah, you could once you have pressure on the board, what the hell? Okay, we've got all kinds of shit to bounce things and get it out of the way, but how are we winning this game? And I was like, maybe Geist. You know, you play like a Bant Geist bounce deck, you get Geist on the board and then just bounce, get rid of their shit and try and beat them. Could be interesting. I still like, even though it's very, it's not that it's fringe, I just think like Grixis Reanimator with Jace, Grizzlebrand, that whole faceless looting engine.
Oh yeah.
Man, that is, that is, I mean, fun times.
Yeah,
man.
It's a little scary because a lot of the Eldrazi decks, if they don't have any main deck relics, they'll have like maybe four on the board, so it's a little scary.
I think relic is kind of moving to two in the board. two in the main and maybe even less, right? For the aggressive decks, the, I don't know. I think they're moving away from that, but so, the processor list, it's you're going to run like six. You're going to run two Scrabbling Claws and four processors.
Yeah, Living In has kind of the same thing. And Living In is showing some placement. It's showing up in the dailies.
You're right. Living End is all over the place. That deck, a lot of people are trying to push. I've seen Scapeshift come back. I've seen Gifts. A lot of people jamming Gifts into anything now just to...
Yeah. Although Scapeshift go to fell off a little bit at the Pro Tour. It didn't really... And it's like it just seems too slow to me. Like Eldrazi is so fast. Scapeshift is inherently slow. I mean,
The real problem with Eldrazi is... No matter what you're doing, no matter what deck you are, when they turn two Thought Not Seer, it is so, until you've had it done to you like 15 times and you realize you're just like, they're going to take the one card that I was counting on living or drawing or like doing anything with. And it's so debilitating.
Like three,
that really, yeah. I really feel like that turn two play is worse than turn one Chalice. Like, I feel that play is so much more common and so disgusting.
Yeah, to me personally.
And I love Eldrazi.
I tend to like combo decks, so I started playing Polymorph. And at first I was like, man, as long as they don't Thought Not Seer, this is going to be an easy matchup. But somehow, it always seemed to come up. I don't know if I just had a bad stretch, but I had like three or four games where turns two Spreading Seas, you know, but they just kind of still curved out with lands, and they got there. And like right before the turn where I was about to go up with Polymorph or Through the Breach, it's like, oh, we'll take your one card. And the thought, especially with that deck, like I don't even care about Inquisition because it doesn't hit, you know, either of my money cards, but just the thought sees the click effect. Yeah. So that card to me, like some people say, like, you know, it's just the lands and, I don't know, that card to me has been the, but again, like I tend to like combo decks, so I'm shifting away. Like, so I want to, so the other like enchantment decks, like there's white red where you get Blood Moon and you get a Johnny as your one of your win conditions.
I do like a Johnny Vengeant, man. That card is looking pretty good.
Locks stuff down.
And I like that.
He gets there.
He can bolt shit. He can shut a game out. He can take your lands out. I really like that. Really good. It's just hard to get to turn four, though. That's the thing. Like, the games really are fast. I don't know if anyone here has played. Did anyone play the Pro Tour Gauntlet?
Oh my god! Oh my god! Yeah. I played it with Slick and Motika, and
okay, what's your experience?
They were just like, oh, we got Pod against Eldrazi. All right, we're just gonna concede next. Like it was almost like that. It was just like you weren't even playing the same level of Magic. They were just producing like six mana by turn two, whatever, and you were like, all right, it's turn two, I guess I'll cast a Wall of Roots, and that's not really gonna do that much.
No.
And
you just try to Simeon Spirit Guide out.
There was
like
a lot
of
garbage
dead
matchups against that Eldrazi deck. It was kind of
It was, I tried two matches, and I personally don't, I mean, I just don't like Affinity. I don't know why, I just don't.
It's always like the enemy,
I know, Chaz. I guess for me, all my brews have been about hating Affinity,
exactly.
But
it's
I've never
like
played
the
it.
Other guy's deck.
I'm
almost sad if it, like, went away, because it's like, it's always there.
It needs a place.
I knew Modern was in a really bad spot when, like, the top eight people were, like, rooting for Affinity. I was like, oh, my God, this is bad. What, like, bizarre world did I, like, wake up in?
Right? But it was so funny because my first time going through the gauntlet, I'm like, please, just I'll take Burn. I'll take Burn over Affinity. Just don't give me Affinity. And I'm like, Affinity, fuck. And I'm just like, ah, come on. And then what is my first matchup? Affinity Mirror.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like,
oh my God,
I was so demoralized. I was like, I don't want to play this fucking game, man. And so then I'm like, all right. I lose the first round because I'm like, I didn't fucking really probably play it optimally.
The Arcbound Ravager, man. Deep instead of nine. Yeah.
No, you know, it was funny because I had Frank Karsten's article on how to play Affinity Open while I was playing the match trying to read it because I'm like, what the fuck? Wait, what are my options here? I'm like, I could sack all my lands? That's crazy. And then the guy I'm playing against does exactly that and poisons me out. And I'm like, well, that was bullshit. What the fuck, right? So then the next game, I tried to do it, and just like you said, JR, I was one short, and he cracked me back and killed me. And I'm just like, God damn it. And then the second time, I was like, okay. I'm like, I have some time. Let's go again. Let's roll the dice. Let's do this. Boom. I get affinity again. I didn't even – I played the first round and dropped. I'm just like, I don't want to play
this.
You didn't
have the mirror because, yeah, that would be – it's like the first – like you never played the deck before, and all of a sudden you're playing like an Arcbound Ravager mirror. That's just kind of
– yeah, like I love – first of all, like Lee or MTG, whoever the fuck created this format or had this idea, I love it. Like it sounds on paper – fucking great. It's the gauntlet. It's cool. I just think you need to let people, and I understand it could get, you know, weird, but it would be nice if you let people have a choice, even in style. You know, like I want an aggro deck or I want a combo deck, or
you do like the, you know, you do like the Hearthstone thing where you get like three random ones and you choose.
Actually, I really like that idea. Like more AI, maybe not AI opponents, but like we pair them up with like records maybe or something. I think like that would be really good. That's a fun, you know, I got half an hour, I want to have a quick Magic battle, I don't have a deck, but you know, I really like, I don't know, Grixis control, let's try and get that. I think that would be neat. I think that's actually good. It's strange that Magic Online's doing things properly lately. What's going on here?
Wait, what
world do we live in?
What, after I got off of Magic Online, now they're doing things properly?
No, they're not. Don't worry. No, I know. It's only wishful thinking.
Everything
it's
went downhill. Like, the whole feeling, I feel like the high point of emotion in the community, it's sad. It was, like, around the release of Theros 23 and a half Pro Tour. And then from there, we had the first Modo. I mean, similar things had happened before for years, but it was the first time since, like, you know, the huge growth where it was, like, when Kibler was playing the PTQ and it went down, and like I feel like that was the turning point of just like where the community, like things became like progressively more and more negative for the community, and a certain segment of the community thought that it was, they just felt that, you know, maybe this isn't for me kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, when they told everyone, the me and Marcel have like parallel adventures in Moto. They told us all to buy into Vintage. We spent obscene money, and then they cut off packs, turned packs back on. It was the most absurd scenario of miscommunication doing the worst thing, and all confidence in that format died like within a month. And I just, to this day, I regret that.
Going back to Magic Finance, like it brought you into this realm of Magic Finance where you thought you were.
It did.
You thought you were getting like, you know, an okay deal, and you thought that they signaled their intentions clearly. They're like, oh, it's going to be released until this date, and then it's not going to be released anymore. And probably 1,000 different people lost $1,000 just on that sort of thing.
I don't know. A lot of people were pissed, man. If I look at now, like what power costs versus what we paid for it, it just hurts
even,
to this
even
day.
If you
I don't even like looking at that.
And waited till like the very end of the summer. It was ridiculous. Yeah. They just kept printing it until like November of that year when they said it was going to be June, or like it was just.
You know, it's funny. They need to have the reverse. In Moto, they need to be more conservative, and in paper, they need to be way
Moto,
less conservative.
You're just running scared. You're like literally.
Yeah.
In Moto, the phrase buy low, sell high is almost actually good advice. If you have any card over, you know, 30 tickets, like if you're not playing it, like you probably don't want to hold
that
card. Like, if you have like a usable card that's like very cheap and it's like, it's eventually whatever it is, Rune Halo, it's like countless cards. It's like eventually all of a sudden they're like a 7-ticket card. And
yeah, I don't know. I Moto is a weird, weird beast, man. I don't even claim to understand it anymore. It used to follow some patterns that were recognizable. Like you said, JR, like a couple of years ago, I was trying to really figure it out, not to make any money, just to try to know, like, because I was like, I want to buy a playset of Return of Ravnica. When the fuck do I buy this? You know, like I wanted Shocklife. And it was just so hard to figure it out. And I don't know. Now the fact when they put Redemption to $25, that's when everything went to shit. That's at least what I believe. I think they should have kept Redemption as cheap as possible. That was a really good relief valve on crazy prices. I mean, could you imagine if we had $5 redemption on, you know, Magic Origins?
Yeah, dude. And I think that's the other thing that happened in terms of the community is that Theros Standard, at first it was awesome when all those Devotion decks were coming out and people were brewing Devotion decks in Modern. But then once the Pack Rat Thought Seize, that whole year set in, it just turned a lot of people off of Standard permanently to the point where even after that, I tried to get back into Standard after that, but I was just like, you know what, like, it's just going to change in a few months. And like, all of a sudden I had this realization that like Standard is just for like hardcore grinders. Like if your goal is to like, get on a pro tour, like, yeah, like you want to play Standard, but.
Yeah.
And it is.
Yeah, I don't know.
It
I
is
don't
fun
know.
To brew Standard though, cause it's a smaller card pool. So you're more able to break stuff.
It
but
is.
For if you just don't have time to keep up with it. Yeah, and that's sort of like a cop-out too, because online, I could keep up with Standard online, but it's just like at some point you don't have the mental space. This game is already like, you know, 5 or 6 different subgames, and Magic Finance is like 1 or 2 of those games. You have like your Moto Magic yep. Finance subgame and your Paper Magic.
Your Paper. I'll say this. Since the inception of this cast, Chaz, I don't know if you know this, but the goal of starting this cast was because I was entering Magic Online because I found I was too busy and I couldn't play enough paper. And I was like, shit, I'm just too busy. I was starting up, you know, a couple of companies and I just had no time. And I'd have an hour at like 10 o'clock at night. Well, that's no good. Nobody I know is playing Magic. And so I got into Moto and my journey was fuck paper. I'm going hardcore Moto because I could play at any time. And, you know, this is, of course, after me getting through the whole Moto's a giant pile of garbage crashes and I couldn't figure out how to trade or it was a nightmare. You know, that learning curve once I got up to snuff, then I was like, okay, I could play. I got Kevy involved. I got all kinds of people. We had the whole heavy meta clan in and it was pretty good. We had like 50 people in there.
Oh, yeah.
You could get games all the time. I thought it was really good. And like JR said, it just. I don't know, man. It got all fucked up and tainted. And then, as like the idiot I am, I have been to this day trying to balance both. And I don't know, man. That is an expensive balancing act.
I mean, it's funny because like all throughout the MTG Goldfish cast, like I was the one that just did not play Moto, and then like suddenly I started, you know, getting on there, and it's okay and everything, but. I still feel like whenever I buy or, you know, acquire cards, like I feel like it's just a big waste of money. Like I do it, you know, just to make videos or whatever, what have you. But I know full well that like I'm not getting into that side of, I mean, MTG.
That the finance.
Like, no, it's just like, dude, paper's like hard enough. Like it's you know, it's like it's crazy enough in paper. I just view Moto as just like a sink. Like I'm just not gonna get it. I'm not gonna try. I'm not gonna get it back. I'm not gonna like sit there and buy like a thousand of like a penny of a ticket, you know, card in hopes to hope it goes to like 0.5
the next Heartless Summoning,
you know, like a 0.5 of a ticket, and like I make like 0.4 tickets for like every card. I'm just not gonna do that. It's like it's
well, that brings me up the when we first got into it and we tried to because I went through the journey, you know, you're like, I want to play Moto. Right. And then I'm like, wow, I'm blowing a shit ton of money. There's got to be a better way. And you start to realize there's trends and like through your own self-discovery, you're like, there's got to be a way to follow this. And that's when I got onto Masuba. And that's when, funny enough, MTG Goldfish came about. And it was awesome to see a chart, an actual physical representation of, oh, wow, this is how format ebbs and flows. And it was funny because even at that time, there were guys that were like, we're buying 1,000 Vryn's, whatever the stupid Jesus. Horse. Like they would try to buy these cards and they would tell you, like they would DM you like, hey, man, you should buy this. And I'm like, what the fuck? Are you crazy? He's like, it's only a cent. We're gonna jam the market. And then it would go up to like 30 cents and they'd claim victory. But, you know, I just looked at that like that is working for less than minimum wage. That's crazy. The whole point of Magic was to have fun, not to work.
Yeah. Farming gold on some shit tier game in Singapore.
I'm gonna drop 10 grand on a Bitcoin server and stick it in the corner of my house before I do that.
I'd rather set up like a D2 bot or something like that.
Yeah, you know,
like I don't know. Like so anyway, MTGO is just like, for me, it's just like a sink. And it's not even like MTGO could be great. And like, this is from me that's like a newcomer to MTGO, and like I really gave it a good shot, and I you know, go on there and make videos and play and all that, but it's just really clunky. Like, just nothing else, if just nothing else, bare minimum, like just the client is very clunky, and that was just the biggest gripe I had with it. And it's just like I grind my teeth every time like I want to do a video, because it's like I have to go on there, it's like just so clunky. Hate it.
But my thing is, like, it's not as clunky as, like, getting in a car and, like, driving a stick shift. Like,
it's
like,
yeah,
it could be. It's, like, it's could much be, less right? clunky than, like, driving a car.
it's laggy, and, like, you know, you play, like, a card game like Hearthstone. You go back to, like, MTGO, and it's just like, oh, what am I doing? Like, why is it so, like... Just I don't know
the age old question.
It's it really, like, you know, people tilt off on you, and it's just like, oh my god, like you know what's gonna happen. Like, something happens where you like you have like a good top deck or whatever. Like,
I'm sitting there like hitting F4, and then all of a sudden it's like their turn. And I'm like, what the hell did I just do? And I'm like, oh.
Well, there's always that. Yeah, there's always the horrific click throughs which happen like. You know, once a week.
And then, like, at one point, like, it glitched. Yeah. Like, I miss an attack, like, but, like, I was, like, very methodically, like, not, like, trying to miss my attack. And then, like, I missed it. And it's, like, oh, God. Like,
and
the worst is...
Like, trying to aggressively time each other out. Like, you're both, like, your clocks are really low. But, like, the guy is, like, sporadically just, like... there and not there because he's trying to like pass and like have you time out.
Yeah.
Like, that's the ultimate asshole.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so I just get really frustrated. And it's like, just the UI, like the interface, and just the whole client is just very like clunky.
The best for me is just when you're playing and then you look over at the chat window and you're like, wow, the guy wrote a fucking paragraph. Wait, and you start to read it and you're like, wow, he's saying that I'm a fucking Luxac and I'm a noob. And then you look back and you've missed like an attack and you're like, oh, fuck, god damn it. And you're getting angry at this situation and he's calling you like lucky for winning. The best is when I play in the tournament practice room in Modern and some guy will, like, it happens every time. I'm like, this is tournament practice. This should be tier 1 or 2 or 1 point, like, this should be people that are just tuning a deck and seeing what it looks like, and some guy will show up with some homebrew pile of shit and I will like, I was playing Eldrazi and I'm like, turn 2 Thoughtseer, and he's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, this is not what Magic is about. And I'm like, why, do you have a problem with the Eldrazi deck? What are you playing? I saw you play a forest, that's all you've done. He's like, god damn it, I'm trying to play like this deck. And I'm like, oh, that is not going to work well for you, my friend. This is like Eldrazi. What is your win con? And he's like, well, I have to play for about 30 turns. And then I generate all this mana. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is not good, dude. Yeah, I mean, MTGO is what it is. And I don't know. I don't see that getting fixed anytime soon, sadly.
That's a shame.
No, but it's good enough to get games in and for a good price, especially like.
Yeah,
legacy,
I mean,
like,
it's not. You know what? It's not, if you, once you invest, like once you have a bunch of the cards, it's kind of like not that bad. Like, you could just jump in tournament rooms for free.
Right.
Play, like I love the fact, like, if I would suggest this, I know this makes them no money, but I highly suggest everyone to do it, which is apply for the closed beta, because what you get is free Magic. Yeah. You get access. Here's what it is. Guys, go Bugworth. They still need testers because people don't stay. They leave.
Like me?
But, yeah, exactly. Like, I get all these people to sign up, and then, you know,
I still have my beta.
I got to tell you what, I did get into the Oath of the Kingwatch beta. It was actually really good. I really enjoyed myself.
Right?
I was like, man, if this was like actual Moto, it would be great.
it's bad because I know you're getting all free cards and then you're just like get burned out. It's funny because every time I've been on the closed beta, I don't play the set because I'm like, oh man, I've been playing this for a week, I don't want to play this anymore. But it's really cool, at least for brewing a set the week before everyone gets it, and that for me is like that's the holy grail of what I like to do. I love to do that, and there's a lot of really good people that are really friendly, a lot of Heavy Met SVU in there that are all doing the same thing, and they're all like, okay, I got the standard brew. You want to try and see if we can break it? I'm like, yeah, give me 10 minutes to brew one up, and
yeah,
that's really fun. So, like, the highlight of Magic Online is definitely closed beta.
Yeah,
so
it's really good. Like, and yeah, you're right. There is like a lot of friendly, because everyone's just trying stuff out, and you figure out, like, wow, that's really awesome. Like, oh, that's pretty strong. Mm-hmm. Like, and I had really good games on there. I can't deny that.
It's the real client where all the trolls. I paid 5 tickets for this. Fuck you. Yeah. That totally is where that is. All right. Well, let's. I think Kevy has put up with us talking reality long enough. I think it's that time, Chaz. This is your virgin run through the Twitter hole.
Literally, while you guys were talking about shit that I didn't fucking have. Like anything to put it, I just didn't want to jump into things because, like, you guys are doing a good job, and I feel like I'm just gonna wreck everything you guys have to say if I start talking. But I did get caught by my wife peeing out the window, which was hilarious. I've left and made a few cocktails. Like, my wife was literally like fucking trying to get my attention, like in the kitchen, like through the window, but I wasn't even paying attention and just got up and walked to the outside window and peed out because it's raining outside. I wasn't going to go outside in the backyard like I usually do. I'm like, fuck this. I'm peeing out the window. And I turn around and my wife is just laughing her ass off. And then she's like, I walked inside. I was like, no, for reals. I usually pee in the side yard while I'm podcasting, but it's raining. And I said, fuck that. And she's just like, you fucking kill me. This is ridiculous. And she's like, why are you being so quiet tonight? I'm like, well, there are people on our cast that know a lot more about this shit than I do, so I'm just keeping quiet. Don't worry, though. The Twitter hole's coming, and I will get a lot louder, I promise you.
As I get older, like, I definitely leave more drops of pee in my pants. I don't know what it is, but stuff doesn't work as well as it did 20, like, definitely. It's just like, there's always going to be a lot of pee in my underwear. Like,
yes.
To the point where... Yes. With a lady, like,
well, because you don't have time.
I definitely have a new relationship with you now, JR.
Hell yeah,
I'm single for a while now.
No,
I need to either go to the bathroom and just like really like be dried out, or like, because it'll happen. Like, it's happened before. Like, literally, it's been a real conversation with a woman. Like, I just like walk in, and she's like, What's that on your pants? And I'm like, I guess it's
It's probably pee.
And she's like, gross. And I'm like,
all right. I was cooking. It's all right.
Yes.
Don't worry about it.
She's
it's just
like,
some pee-pee, you know?
You know what? You just say, look, when I wash my hands, I like to spray, all
right? Right. Yes. That's what you do when it, like, sometimes, like, if it ever happens at work, you pretend like it was sink. But sometimes it actually is the sink, and then you
But who knows, right? Then people don't know. It's like a game of Russian roulette. Is it pee? Is it not? I don't know.
It depends on how often it happens. Like, at some point, your coworkers are like, I feel like that guy pees his pants a lot and always plays it on the
sometimes when I go too far and I need to, like, walk with, and I'm, like, holding my cell phone, you know, just like.
See, I could just see JR purposely going. Hold on. I could see JR purposely going to the bathroom when other people go in there, and then washing his hands and purposely splashing it all over his pants. Be like, oh no, look what happened again, guys. I'm so sloppy.
You gotta just start wearing darker pants, homie.
Still, it shows. I mean,
It still shows.
You can wear rubber pants. You'll be
napkins
fine.
In the front.
Yeah, I mean, there are solutions. You know, it shouldn't be a problem.
Or you could just really say, fuck it. Like, hey, you know what? Shit happens.
All right, well, let's dive deep. Chaz, the way the Twitter hole works is the community, our friends, if you will, ask us questions. Some of the questions are legitimate. Some of them are actually very informative. But most of them
most
are
of the
complete
time, even if they
bullshit.
Are legitimate and informative, we wreck it. Like, everything everything insightful that they have to say, we basically wreck it as much.
There is a game of chicken that is played between the viewers of this cast or the listeners of this cast and the cast people on the other end. And that is how disgusting questions.
No. The game of chicken was like, how can we open Kevy Metal's pictures without seeing a dick? That game of chicken ended.
We all lost sadly. Yeah.
I won.
Well, yeah, you won. You hands down had 100% meta ratio against us. All right, let's jump in here. Matt Hansen has the first question of the night. He says, you are in charge of creating McDonald's new gimmick food item. What are some of your ideas?
Wow. That's a weird one to start off with.
I can't control this. This is how Bruce Lee has set up the Twitter hole. I just have to read it. I can't control it.
I love how we have a Twitter hole architect now. Like, you know, quick shout out to Bruce Lee. Like, we have a Twitter hole architect. And, like, it's the most thankless job on the planet because he's been doing it for a while now. And there are literally nights where we're just all, whatever, fuck Bruce. Who gives a shit? We're going to just say this question and then we're going to just skip the Twitter hole. And then there's other nights where we're like, oh, thank God Bruce is here because I can't even read Twitter right now.
Oh, sorry. I'm being yelled at right now because I'm reading the Twitter hole backwards.
Oh!
Sorry. I read the worst question first. Okay. Sorry. I know. I will have to edit that. Not really. Let's start
editing in the fucking heavy meta. You're silly.
Holy cow. Okay, here we go, folks. Nina Oop. Don't play.
Holy shit.
Nina Don't Play MTG has a Twitter hole question for us.
Wow.
Nina. Wow, I know. Ever. It has been
a
long
time,
Nina.
One of the first episodes I ever listened to. It's like Cardboard February
Witch.
2013.
Yeah, that was, 3 years ago, man. Wow, right? Okay, so she says, do you or do you not agree that Kissinger's face looks like a dehydrated lemon? Agree.
I'm opting out of this question. I don't know what Kissinger she's talking about.
Oh, come on. Henry Kissinger? Come on. He totally is a dehydrated lemon.
I picture it as like more leatherly. Like a baseball glove, almost like, yeah, like soft. That's soft, leatherly,
soft, supple leather.
Yeah,
he's got a sheen on him.
I remember when I used to have a baseball glove and used to like put the fucking oil in it and shit. Man, I sucked.
I'm gonna go with lemon. Yeah.
All right. Let's keep moving because we got to warm up the Twitter hole. That was a weird one. But Nina, thanks for tweeting in. Keep it up. I love it. Captain Booty, Jacques Lacroix, asks, what's the least bad STD? Jesus Christ, Jack, they're all bad. I don't think there's a least
there's,
one.
There's different levels to it. Is it, no, was that not. It? Just the least bad STD?
I think there was a flurry of other questions, but this was the one that was
posted.
Oh,
that's the one
us.
That got that's the one that actually showed up. Just what's the least bad STD? I don't know. Children?
Is pee in your pants?
Children.
An STD? Yeah, children.
Yeah.
I don't know. JR, is there a least bad one? I don't think there is.
The burn, just like, you know, you get that burn. So it's like a burn. Not a disease or anything, but sometimes you get the burn. Like, if you pee right after you come, sometimes you get that burn.
Yeah.
You know?
Or if you actually, if you don't pee right after you come, sometimes, like, you know, the next morning you get that fucked up burn. Yeah.
There's some experience I'm lacking here. Cause I don't,
you know,
not following.
Just benign burn.
Benign burn.
Benign burn. Oh, God damn it.
Presumably benign burn.
That's what I should probably start naming my modern deck now.
So hold on.
Doesn't really do much at this point.
If you had to name a STD for a Magikarp, would that be like Bonfire of the Damned?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
Thunderous Wrath.
That is.
Thunderous Wrath.
Thunderous. Chain Lightning. All right, let's keep jumping down. Martin Brunette says, can you mention that I'll be in DC for the GP and would love to meet up with fellow Heavy Met SVU.
He just did.
Yeah,
I know. Done.
He's asking,
see, so he's there.
He does, Martin doesn't like me anymore, so he's like,
Martin loves you. Come
that's
on,
what he's, signaling. He's like, no, I'm just kidding. Of course,
he's counter signal.
I'm paranoid. I'm just like, man, I hope I'm not bothering people by being on the show too much. Probably like the SVU is very diverse. Probably like 5 to 20% of the SVU dislike me at this point. Just based on just like, you know, just standard, you know, I'm not like
that is not true. Any of anyone who doesn't like you, then I need to unfollow them because that's bullshit. That's right there. Leading into the question, Jason Alt says, why did you unfollow me on Twitter? Simple reason was I banned a ton of people because I was going through MTG finance overload.
I actually had to stop a minute, like when I was looking through these questions earlier, I was like getting ready to leave work. And like instead of actually just going about my business and leaving work, I had to leave the list of questions to go see if I actually still followed Jason. I was like, why would I stop? Why was this directed at me? Why would I stop following Jason? And you know, I'm happy to report that, like, Jason, you took up an extra, like, fucking, I don't know, 30 seconds of my life of not being on my way home. And I followed you the whole time. I'm still here with you.
I have made a series of adjustments to my unfollow meter. Apparently, you are followed again. Occasionally, you are muted though on hockey nights. Zach Allen, A22 in, asks, "What is Heavy Meta doing currently to fight the quickly spreading plague, baby muffin syndrome? Do you have any advice for us simple folk with no experience? Right. Save us, Mother Beaver." Now, hold on.
No, there is like we got to explain baby muffin syndrome again. And
Chaz probably needs
question was just the question was just like for those of us with no experience, could you please explain it?
Oh, okay.
It's hard to.
Would you like to, or would you like me?
You go right ahead, Maddie, because this, I believe, came in via Maddie Studios.
Yeah. So several weeks ago, maybe months ago.
It was a lot longer than that.
All right, maybe a year ago.
I like several weeks ago to a year ago. Like
I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know the time frame. A part of the syndrome of Muffin Baby Syndrome is that you lose time. Apparently, we were asked to create
asked a question. It was literally a Twitter old question. Somebody said, like, I don't know if they actually called it baby muffin syndrome or we came up with it, but it's essentially a disease that you can't tell the difference between babies and fucking blueberries.
I think it may have actually been Jeremy Aronson, like a shit post.
Really?
No. Actually, you know what it was? It was from Booze Cube.
Was it?
It sounds like it's from Booze Cube, but I'm not sure that's right, to be honest. I feel like...
I think fucking JR.
Twitter hole historian Bruce Lee needs to look
that. It was like someone like unusual who was coming up to just like throw a new curveball at us.
God, it could never happen because.
But you're right. It sounds like classic Booze Cube.
It sounds like a Booze Cube. So anyway, so Chaz, baby muffin syndrome or MBS as we will refer to it because it's easy. BMS or no. MBS, muffin baby syndrome, right? So it's basically you can't tell the difference between a baby and a muffin. So the problem is, of course, when you're hungry and you're like, oh man, I could go for a muffin, and you end up eating a baby, you know, that's obviously not good for you. Now, here's interesting. Today on Twitter, a woman in Texas, I believe, arrested.
It was Arkansas.
Oh, Arkansas. Yeah, Arkansas, Texas.
I'm sorry, Missouri. Arkansas, Texas.
Missouri. She was arrested. Okay, a woman was actually arrested for trying to eat her baby.
She was a babysitter that tried to eat. She was all fucked up on drugs and tried to eat one of the children that she was babysitting.
Or was she? This is how MBS starts. I mean, obviously, this isn't Walking Dead, you know, this isn't Zombie Plague, but it will start like this. This is definitely, if you want any experience
what kind of
in learning.
Because we need to know, like, so that we can walk.
All I saw, the post I saw was just literally, it said, woman on drug or babysitter on drugs tries to eat.
Yeah, we need to see, because, like, it could be, like, it could say, like, narcotics. It
could be a reaction.
But that could be, like, cop speak, and it's not a narcotic at all, you know?
Hey, it was probably bath salts. I mean, those have been proven to, you know,
well,
have cancer.
There has now. Listen, last time there was no cure. Sadly, there still isn't a cure. There's a helmet you can buy.
Cured a fucking baby muffin.
But there's no cure. No.
There's a muzzle that you can wear.
Yeah, there's a muzzle, and there's a virtual reality helmet that dynamically replaces babies and muffins. But sometimes it glitches, and it's really
bad. But that's fucked up. You shouldn't get that fucked up, like.
You shouldn't get fucked up and start trying to eat a baby.
I mean, well, but the real problem is that nobody has found.
Shit. What the hell did I get into?
JR said, how messed up do you have to be?
I could see if, like, you're lying by your baby in bed and you just kind of roll, like, yeah, I guess. Like,
Fucking... How do you see that, Jared? Wait.
How do you? I'm like, sorry, I can't defend you. Like, a little bit of the baby goes into your mouth, like.
No matter how hungry you are, I can't just sit there and be like, oh, I'm gonna have a bite of this baby. Like, that doesn't work.
Like the rollover, like, you know,
and your teeth or like hit the baby's leg or something. Like, what?
I'm not about eating. You know, I'm just saying. Like...
Dreaming about muffins at that point. You know, sometimes it's like sleepwalking, but you know,
I don't think like any instance you can see like anything happening.
look, no. There's no correlation yet between the active ingredients in bath salts and certain sugars found in whole wheat muffins. So we don't know if there's triggers that are, you know, can occur or not yet. My advice is, hold on.
Go ahead.
My advice is to cut out gluten because we all know that leads down certain roads. Also, I suggest
you don't suffer from MBS anymore because you're not going to eat muffins, so you're not going to try to eat babies. Like, I mean, that's probably the best solution.
It could be, or just don't eat muffins around babies, and then you don't have issues.
Don't eat babies. I mean, that's the bottom.
Pretty much, don't eat babies.
What kind of drugs she's doing? I can't like.
Bath salts.
I mean, I don't know
what.
No. It's not good. It's not good. MBS is actually it's an ongoing plague. It's just something we have to be prepared for. Maybe it'll be the next T-shirt campaign we do.
It's one of those.
You know, say no to muffins.
Too, where it's like, you know, like it's one of those diseases where a lot of times, you know, people, yeah, they have their feelings and they, you know, it's a heartfelt thing. Like, you know, if you get cancer, people feel fucking terrible for you. But like, if you get MBS, not only is there no cure, but there's also no quarter. Like,
if you do eat a baby, you're fucked. No one will help you. Like, there's no talking out of that. There's just you're done.
Moreover, you just need to recognize that there's like good fucked up and bad fucked up, and not all fucked up is good fucked up.
Yeah, no shit. This is...
If you're going to have a party, just don't bring muffins and avoid all of this. That's all I'm saying.
This isn't one of those, here, drink this. Oh, I shouldn't have drank that. This is like, I ate a baby? Fuck. Like, this has got severe ramifications.
Yeah, this is not good. Let's move on. Brett Matthew, Koffinick? I think I got it right.
I thought you just expired just now.
I know. There was like a K and then an O and a PH.
I'm done.
I'm pretty sure it's at Koffinick. He says, Kevy's been kidnapped. The only way to pay the ransom is to sell your copy of the MTG EMA card list.
This gets even better. Given the recent information that this shit's like completely fake, now you really
hold on.
Now you have to be a really good salesman because my life is on the line, and so you have to sell your copy of a list that is now like fucking debunked. So
I'm pretty sure in good faith
you're basically selling fucking a woman in white gloves a ketchup popsicle. Go.
I'm pretty sure in good faith he posted this question, not knowing this advanced information. But
now shit's changed. So now you guys really have to sell it. Like before, it could be like, "Oh, hey, here, do you want this fucking list? $25,000, okay." And then you pay to get me out of fucking whatever fuck situation I'm in. Now you guys got to come up with some fucking capital to get me out of this kidnapping situation.
Okay, so the easiest
list that's literally it's like trying to buy me out buy me out of jail with Splinter Twins at this point.
I'm pretty sure you're in jail the next day.
I'm just fucked. is that the general consensus? Like you guys are just gonna be like, oh well, sorry.
No, I think there's always an angle here. If you think about this, the first thing you do is you have to include blowjobs. I think that once that's on the table, that we could get you out. But
yeah, does it really matter? They're like, oh, this whole fucking the Eternal Masters list is fucking fake. Who gives a shit? Maddie's gonna suck our dicks.
I mean, I don't know how. Honestly, you could convince the person that it's Because it's really real.
I'm gonna take this on faith as if I ever get kidnapped, Maddie is willing to offer up fucking.
Oh, I didn't say that. See, this is where I get in shit because people make logic leaps here. I don't think that was on the table, Kevin.
Maddie, I fucking love you, man. You're willing to give up fucking blowjays, like multiple blowjays.
Multiple.
In order to get me out of kidnapping. And like, you know, maybe it's just a vendor that's got me kidnapped. Just trying to.
Yes. Channel Fireball kidnaps Kevy, and I gotta be like, okay. Just let me get my knee pads.
And then
let's see.
It turns out it's just one of those fucking PR stunts so that, like, we could get a picture of Maddie. Fireball.
Oh my god, yeah, he's taking the fireball, he's taking it right now. Oh, that would be the best.
At his studios taking a shot of fireball.
Yeah. I didn't know he liked cinnamon so much. All right, Mildy Vane, oh my god, good old Mildy Vane says, what effect would it have if Eternal Masters became Modern Legacy?
I think
that's what we were talking about before. Pretty much.
I think that was like the first half hour of the cast.
Oh, he's talking about merging it all. I mean, yeah. Reference two
I
hours
mean,
ago,
have,
Milty.
Like a list of like decks that would go out, like the lands, the 12 post storm would be fucked by Eye. Elves would be fucked by Cradle. So it's like those like storm and elves, like they might still kind of exist.
You could still play Burn. You could still play shit. You could play some type of stone.
Show and tell would be slightly affected, but you could still just like shift towards tomb, like the painter mud, like painter and mud, like that kind of shit. Like the blood moon strategies would be kind of fucked, and Allurin would clearly be fucked, and high tide a little bit too.
Hey, you could play birthing pod again. That's what I do. I just play birthing pod. I think that deck would do amazing. Birthing Pod or Twin? Twin with Force of Will, Days? Oh, my God. That deck would just crush. So. Oof.
Didn't that get,
all right,
like...
Now I'm getting excited.
Like
not to do this.
Didn't that get, like, pretty far? And, like, I think someone took that, like, as, like, a goof and actually did pretty well.
Yeah, who was the guy that actually took the Eldrazi list to Vintage and crushed? I was reading about that, too, so... I don't know, man.
I'd play Eldrazi.
You know what? Yeah, probably. Until somebody, you know, really wants to champion the format and start to test it and put videos up and we can watch decks play against each other, who knows, man? We're all just talking.
Yeah, that was the thing about Tiny Leaders that kind of got me a little bit because it never found its niche.
Oh, Tiny
but
Leaders.
It was such an awesome idea to brew with. And
I did like the idea.
I'm just like a brewer at heart and I don't even like to play. And that was like part of the reason why... Like, I think that was appealing to me, but no one else, you know?
I really thought Tiny Leaders was pretty good. I mean, the only thing that really ended up happening with that is just, like, there was no action. Like, you wouldn't hear from, like, any of the people that put the format together for, like, months and months and months.
Yeah, I never really followed the official sites or whatever, but...
Right, and then they're like,
in terms of,
you want to, like, trademark it and, like, but just to sell t-shirts and stuff, and I think everyone just kind of... close the door at that point. So if you don't try to trademark Eternal or what have you, I mean, whatever you want to call it, I think you're in the clear.
Yeah, I guess they like hurt themselves there. But the idea of the format, just like in terms of like the brewing, like just pound for pound, like it was all, like you had the full card pool and half the cards, so it was just it was sweet. Like you know, I still have my deck together. Even
I'm definitely gonna start putting like
no one likes to play it. There's no reason to play it really.
It's just very intriguing to me, if nothing else, like just to put together, just start putting together deck lists.
As
like,
a theory, right?
Yeah, like no reserve list legacy. Like, what would the mana base look like? Like, what would still be powerful? Like, I don't know. Maybe
Delve
people might get
a bunch
sick.
Of damage. That's the other thing I haven't even thought about at all yet. Is like,
yeah, like you started like pretty much like 18.
Yeah, so. I thought about the non dual land stuff, but geez, like you know, and there were different dependencies like Insect has to like bounce. Forests and stuff like
interesting.
I think Chris Van Meter sent out a tweet. It was funny. It's like I think he caught wind of all this talk and be interesting if he really got on board. But he was like, I don't know if people could stomach another format with a fetch and shock mana base. I think he's kind of right. But I mean, hey, who knows?
I mean, does you know you have to look at this from the viewpoint of if. if Wizards really wanted to do it, would they give us a superior Shockland?
Yeah.
And I think, like, that's something that really would be one of the first things.
Yes.
If they were, and like, okay, could... we're getting behind this format, we're going to give you a ping land.
Right.
It only deals one damage. Or who knows, right? Like, something that is not a dual land, you know, if they want to dance around that.
And it could fit into standard if that was just, like, the best land standard by far, you know?
Oh, man, could you imagine that set? That set would sell a billion. See, here's the thing. Everyone who counteracts this argument, like, oh, my God, it has to be a business model. Right there. 8 cards or 10. If they did the whole 10 in one set, or they probably do 5-5 in the block. But, like, that block alone... Come on, that block's going to sell.
Maybe it's just as easy as making them legendary or something. I don't know.
That's why I said there's so many ways to solve this whole problem with my, like, it's not, it almost doesn't seem that hard when you start to think about, like, so many possible ways to do it.
Yeah.
Like tweaks to formats or just reprinting or printing, you know, slightly new cards.
Less broken versions. Yeah. I mean, all right. Well, Justin Waterfield, Lunchbox 6601 says, what would the cast members do with the Eternal Masters complete card list? We'd wipe our ass with it because it's worthless. Sorry. Yeah. I love the where you were going with that, but a little late, buddy. A little late. Caleb Haldane asks us, if all MTG Planeswalkers had an early 90s style cage match, who would win? And who would lose their anal virginity? Okay, well, okay, Caleb, we'll go there. We'll go there.
Discounting, like, Nicole Bolas, I mean, I think...
Well, I mean...
Because that's, like, a big-ass dragon.
Okay, so no dragons.
All right.
Ugin and Bolas are out.
All right, so Karn.
Yeah, yeah,
he's, like, a big-ass golem, and he's, like, made of, like, pure metal. Like, how do you even lift him?
If you got a torch, if you got some heat, you can make that motherfucker just melt. Like, I feel like, I mean,
are
I,
we allowing
I,
powers?
I don't think you can.
Well, no, I feel like I cut steel all day long. Like, I manipulate steel with fucking fire all day long. And, I feel like Karn, you know, he's a big chunk of metal, but if, you know, if you got access to fucking intense heat, he's not so big of a fucking dude anymore. Like, you just fucking cut him off the knees.
I mean, Garrick, also Apex Predator, maybe he's the Brock Lesnar of this Battle Royale, but he's coming in, he's all hype, but I think he's got something. He's got Death Touch, dude, here you go, Karn, you're dead. Suck on that.
I think, like, in a 90s cage match, you have to take in, like, just pure strength, and there you go right there.
Yeah, I feel like you're right. That makes sense. You could go on for a while on how each one could affect the other kind of thing. Like I was saying, you know, fire, Karn, we cut them down a little bit. But you're talking all sorts of tools and shit like that. Like, if you're just going strictly cage match, I think it's got to be the pure fucking strength.
Oh, so, yeah, but there's wily guys. There's little wily guys. Like, you got to remember Venser. Like, he's going to be like a Rey Mysterio blinking in. Boom, 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 boom. Like, he's got leverage.
Yeah, Jace is going to have leverage, too.
What was the specific wording of the question?
What's that?
Oh. What was the specific wording of the question?
Okay, the official wording is, in an all MTG Planeswalkers early 90s, style cage match, who would win and who would lose their anal virginity?
I feel like Tibble is losing his virginity.
I'm sorry. He is not lasting round one.
So that means that winning is like the opposite of losing anal virginity in that scenario. So my question is, who would be the most have the will to inflict something like that? And
who would be that much of an asshole?
The first person I thought of was Nicol Bolas. So,
we're ruling out the two dragons. The two dragons just don't fit in the fucking ring, so they're out. Also, you can't discount Domri Raid. I mean, they all thought he's a midget, but he's a fucking giant. He just looks small in the cards.
I guess he just seems like the most.
Yeah, he doesn't give a fuck.
Planeswalker.
I still think it's got to be a tie between Karn and Garrick. I mean, but
man, you got what? For Koth either.
Just beef skin it up.
No, Koth is not like evil. He's just like cool.
Koth is fucking like,
weird.
He's got spiky rock hands. Like, he's gonna inflict damage.
Koth is dead.
Like, you could be his friend, whereas like Omnixilis is just like, he's just gonna.
Yeah,
fuck
he's a demon.
Up.
Okay.
Yeah,
Koth
he's
is
an
dead.
Asshole.
Like, if this is a tag team match, like you can.
Koth
you
is
could,
gone.
Yeah, like you could, like Karn could beat the hell out of his opponent with Koth. Like, you can just pick him up as a corpse and just use him as a weapon. Like, that's, and I mean, that seems like some scary shit to me. Like, if Karn's just swinging Koth around, like, I'm gonna beat a motherfucker with another motherfucker and just,
like a more,
and just
like,
swinging him around by a leg.
He rolls
in,
like,
I don't wanna fuck
like
with
Goro
Karn.
Style, like, just rips him in half and starts, you know.
Okay, here's a side question, because I think we all unanimously agree that Tibalt is losing his anal virginity there that night. Who's the Stone Cold of the Magic Universe? Who's the I don't give a fuck? I don't know.
It has
I'm thinking
to be like Rao or something like that, right?
Ooh, okay. I could see Gideon is definitely Kurt Angle.
Gideon's Kurt Angle. I love me some Kurt Angle.
Yeah, right. And like, and then maybe like, oh geez, I don't know. Shit. That's so hard. Maybe even Garrick. No, you know who Garrick is? Hacksaw Jim Duggins. Oh, that is so
Garrick
Garrick
is like
right there. He is not smart.
Like the
or he's
like the Undertaker, or like.
Oh, he could be the Undertaker too. Yeah. Garrick Apex Predator, especially.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Yeah. Okay, I like this. There's no Hulk Hogan though. Is there? Well, maybe Gideon. Nah, Gideon's more Kurt Angle. Yeah. I don't know. All right, let's.
Failed. I feel like this question's a good fucking segue out of this, but doing the same shit. We got Alex the Grateful. Is that the one you were just getting ready to say?
No. But go on.
Alex the Grateful. I want Jace dead. Who deserves the honor? Bolas, Eldrazi, Phyrexians, or Liliana? How do they end them? Or how do they end him?
So, okay, let's get Vorsa.
Now getting out of the fucking WWE universe.
I think Liliana like kills him in his sleep.
Oh yeah, totally. Liliana gets a little too excited
one night. Yeah, slits his throat.
No, you know what Liliana does? Liliana and Jace. No.
Such an anticlimactic end for fucking Jace. Like, I mean, like I kind of want
to like
too.
Pull his like rib cage out of his chest. Like,
no. Lily, look. First of all, Lily and Jace have sexual tension.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
You know, one night they're going at it super hard, and she's like. She just loses it, man. She's like, bam, zombie. Boosh. Just kills him like dead. Bam. During sex. Bam. She's like, oh, shit. I made a zombie Jace.
At this point, she just leaves. Like, they do it. They do what they're going to do. And then she bounces out, goes to another plane. And then she, like, I don't know. Planeswalker text messages him. And she's like, by the way.
We're done.
By the way, you have Planeswalker AIDS. Go get
that. Planeswalker AIDS. Yeah, by the way, remember that disease that burns your crotch? It's not Chandra, it was me, right?
I love Liliana, but I was thinking about it today. I actually hate Liliana, like, in terms of the card, it's just like, terms of the actual card, it's just one of my most hated cards. I hate Liliana, I hate getting thought seized. I just hate...
Liliana is good.
I personally hate that card, because I'm always trying to like combo off, or you know, like same thing with Thoughtseize. It's just like one of those cards, just like not like Jund, even like that whole thing. It's just like not my thing. But
you don't like this card, that's fine. Not everybody does.
I think if you like most people probably don't like it, like you can't,
she's so expensive. I think more people want to use her than want to not be abused by her. Does that make sense? No one likes getting discarded.
I think I had a point. What was my point? It was
especially when you're
Jace.
Especially if you're demoralized.
Like, it would just be like a weird random fight somewhere where like Tibalt just got this rage out of nowhere and just like punched Jace in the face, but it was like somehow a really good punch and Jace died and Tibalt was just like, wow man, it's fucked up.
And then Tibalt becomes the Black Planeswalker.
Like, he's just like, oh, okay, I've finally crossed over. He's like, I never really was any good at being a Red Planeswalker. It's like a career change. Like, he's just all, that was the whole problem the whole time. Like, I shouldn't have been working at fucking Walmart.
And then
Walmart.
All of a sudden, he has good stats. And...
yeah. He should fucking switch over to Black. He should just fucking, he should be the one that kills Jace. That's the underdog story of the century.
His stat, like, he had the Stormbinds. Like, he was kind of red, though. He had good red stuff going on. He just needs to be less weak.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what do you expect for a fucking zero mana planeswalker? Fucking Christ.
A Tibalt planeswalker has to be coming. They have to, like, know. Like...
They have to try again. I mean, he was, like, cool enough to make a, you know, second try.
Fuck yeah!
He definitely needs to come back. If we're gonna see
if they
a
run
planeswalker back,
like, a good version.
He is sweet.
Yeah, he black red four mana.
Black red planeswalker. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
black red four mana. Do something besides the shit you were doing before.
Yeah. Do something not shitty, and we're gonna love you.
Anything really?
Give Jund something.
Scry one. Yeah. Just like
plus yeah, scry one.
Plus one thought sees minus two lightning bolt doesn't have an ultimate. Who gives a shit?
He doesn't care. It's useless. All right, Booze Cube says, which planeswalkers would you most and least want to see in the news as part of a sex scandal involving Kanye West? Wow. Kanye West, really? Are we jumping the shark that early on in our career? Okay. Geez, I would not want to see, obviously, any planeswalker involved or bringing themselves down to Kanye West level, first of all. Except for he's broke, isn't he?
I'd actually like to find out that fucking Jace has been involved with Kanye West this whole time. Like,
maybe Tibble and Kanye West are together. They're all drinking on a corner. Man, I used to be somebody. Yo, let me rap about it. You know? Like, oh man, I don't know, dude.
I don't know, but this the worst question so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Booze Cube. Not
that should be part of the Twitter hole. Yeah, just like you say, like, I don't know, but this is the worst one so far.
Yeah, I don't know. That
we could totally have honorary mentions at the end of the night for the worst Twitter hole questions. Yeah, all right, I'm down.
We'll set you guys off on a fucking tangent. Not necessarily me so much, but maybe we'll see where this goes. This is open. Killer BMTG. What would Watsy's jumping the shark moment be? What business decision would mark the end of MTG? Ooh.
There is, I honestly am not sure there even is one. Because what are they going to do besides make shit?
R&D, like no more R&D, they just like...
What? user submitted sets? Over, dude.
They're just like chopping down R&D and... relying on like recycling more and more, which I mean, it would
work. All standard is all reprints. that would kill MTG. There you go. They could, you know what I think would do huge damage?
Yeah,
getting rid of planeswalkers.
What
if they said we don't want the?
Why the fuck would you do that?
I mean, there was a time without them, but I don't think it would kill them.
That
it wouldn't kill the game.
What about getting rid of mythic rarity and going back to old rarity?
See, I don't think any of that is.
I actually think
a
that would be
breaker.
Good. What if they announced Ultra Mythic?
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah, that
kind
might
of
be
bad.
Yeah,
but I still don't think it would kill the game. No, it would just be like, come on, are you fucking kidding me? I mean, we expeditions are pretty much Ultra Mythic anyways.
Well, exactly. That's the thing. You gotta like define Ultra Mythic because if you're talking like Ultra
more
Mythic
than Mythic.
Well, what I mean is, like, if you're talking in the sense of rarity, like the expeditions, we already have that. Like, I mean, that's basically an ultra mythic. If you're talking in the sense of, like, every once in a great fucking while, you're going to get a card that just does some retarded broken shit. They're like, oh, okay, well, this is Lightning Bolt, Force of Will, and fucking, I don't know, some other fucking card that's good. I'm drunk.
If it went the direction of, like, the other, like, card games where you have, like, a regular version of a card and then, like, a super rare version of the card. I don't know if, like, you know...
See-through plastic ultra mythic metal embossed.
No, I mean, like...
Holographic Jace.
I don't know if, like, you follow any of the other, like, Force of Will or like Card Fight Vanguard, like yeah. games like those. Yeah, there's like yep. a base version of a card and then like a super rare version that actually has like different stats.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. So mythic rares are like better than the standard version of the card?
Yeah,
that's interesting.
That would be like.
Yeah, that would suck.
That's interesting, but I feel like the inherent problem there is like it, the way the Magic rules work, it goes off of like card name and stuff like that. So you'd have to actually like it would have to be a different card. Which I mean, okay, if you're like, oh, this is Geist of St. Traff, this is Super Geist of St. Traff, and it's right. named something different, like you'd have to. I mean, you'd have to go down
yeah,
there.
Well, then they're different cards. You know what would kill it? You know, here's how you kill in Magic. You make blank cards with just the art, and then you sell random, like, acetate clear stickers with just one wording on it that you have to lay over all your cards to assemble them slowly.
Everything is like a magical hack. It's just like, oh, man, yeah. that's just like...
Self-built cards, you know, so you're like, oh, I want 9/9. Oh, now I want to add flying. Now I want to have it to be a merfolk.
Do you know how much, yeah, but do you know how much those packs of stickers are going to fucking cost on the
fucking? I know.
That's the new game. All right, we're in this business of this new game now.
There you go. You want to jump?
Oh, shit. The Moon of Eldrazi sticker packs.
I always think it's funny when all these guys who are like magic people, they're just like, oh man, I have this new game that's like slightly different from Magic, but you know, like it's almost like
I can't get into
it. I know,
those,
it's just,
yeah,
like,
I just can't.
It's like not.
I'm not gonna get into that. Like I don't have the time.
Hey,
like
I was on Twitter earlier today. I got a new game that is Magic, but it's different. Oh, maybe it's a new format. It's just blackjack with fucking Magic cards.
Yeah, like I had a lot of people
but that sounds worse than like Magic.
Yeah, I mean I've been told by a lot of people actually that like that game Force of Will is actually like really mm-hmm. based off Magic the Gathering. It's very similar, but then I'm like, but it's not. It's like not Magic. It's like
I had someone try to teach it to me, and they're like, okay, well this is like the mana, and this is like I'm like so. Why would I play this then? I just don't.
Like, I'll just play Magic. Yeah.
That's the point we all have. Like, we can all bitch and complain about, you know, some of the decisions WotC makes. I mean, shit, Maddie, you and I have been saying this since fucking day one of this podcast. Magic, WotC, they make some bad decisions at times, and this shit's getting out of hand. But, I mean, it really comes down to the same shit every fucking time. Like, you can come out with a different game. I mean, Hearthstone, like, Blizzard did a good job of coming up with, like, an alternative to Magic, but it still isn't. There are some people that have flat out been like, okay, cool, I'm good with this, I'm done with Magic, I'm just fucking playing Hearthstone.
Yeah.
And that's fine, but nothing replaces this fucking game, and that's what gets so fucking frustrating.
Yeah.
When, you know, all hell breaks loose because of a leak or because of fucking, you know, just the ridiculous prices fucking just jacking up into the sky. But what it comes down to is we all love this fucking game. And we're not going to stop playing.
Well, that's why I get so upset, like, when, you know, you're critical of something or you know, you don't like something that they do. And people take that immediately as, oh, well, you're bashing Wizards of the Coast and, you know, something they're trying to do. And I'm like, listen, I've been playing this game since I was, like, 12 years old. I've been a patron to Wizards of the Coast for, like, 15 years. So I don't want to really hear, like, I don't give a shit about this game. Okay, like... All right, so
I know.
We're allowed to express opinions. Yeah, it's like I don't.
Yeah,
get off of that.
No, I get what you're saying, and it, like I totally get it. Cause, like we bitch and we complain, and that's what we're here to do. We're here fucking throwing a fit, giving our opinions, doing what we do for.
But the basis is to try to make the game better. Right?
Yeah, we wouldn't be still having a fucking Magic the Gathering fucking podcast if we didn't love this fucking game and love what they do.
Right.
Exactly.
And there's a difference between an ad hominem attack and a qui bono attack, but we don't need to get into
what
that.
What the fuck? You're making up words!
We're going deep in the literary.
Qui bono is like, that's different from Ad Hominem, but we don't need to talk about that now.
Well, we'll save that on JR's how to differentiate attacks.
Now I'm going to be upset and I'm not going to be able to sleep because I don't know what the fuck you just said, man.
Okay, well, let's...
To be honest,
let's...
like... yeah, go ahead.
Patty, you got him in a corner. You got him in a corner. All right. So Joshua M.
I don't even know what I just said.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to explain. All right, Joshua M. Grapple Grapple. He asks us, Maddie, should we send a big bag of Armada worms to real Donald Trump's campaign office? I think we need to do that for America. You know what? If there's any cast or any group of people that should be sending
if
bags
there are
of
any cast
Donald Trump,
or any group of us. People that actually has a bag of Armada worms.
Oh my god, like, please.
Donald Trump will just charm them and then ride them to victory.
He would convince them that it's better on his
side.
Be
like the savior of his people and just ride the
just release them into the wild.
It's actually too much of a risk.
And everybody can go, holy shit, all these magic kids were right the whole time. There are these mythical creatures flying around.
We might be doing him a favor. He'll make an Armada worm wall.
Armada worm. You good times with what we call that episode? A Trice of Classy Cocks, I believe it was.
Yeah, Classy Cocks.
That was a good one. That was.
What episode?
It
was
approximately 23. I don't know.
I think it was 13, but all right, we'll let you cut it. He has a follow up question. He says, "What Booze Cube card would you all want printed in Eternal Masters?" Wow, I don't even think is any Booze Cube card legitimately able to be played without being completely busted? No.
No, there are cards that... Hold on.
Most of these cards require keywords.
They don't all. There are some that could be played, and I feel like this is the best question I've had all night, but nobody
else...
I
want to combo off... Okay, Devil's Threesome. We make that... Throw that in a combo shell. A blue-red combo shell just going off. There you go. I don't even remember what that card does. That's so sad that is. Kevy is the only Booze Cube aficionado on the cast, sadly enough.
I don't know.
In California also.
I'm going to say, in California. I'm going to say, like collectively, the fucking... I don't know what he calls them. The fucking awesome lands, the fucking double tap lands. That's the card that we need.
I think we can legitimately have like the dual lands, like the bathhouse and hippie commune, be our eternal like mana base.
Ooh,
that would be cool. But do you think it would be better off with like those or with like the tiki bar and shit like that? Like the fucking, I mean. Yeah, obviously there's rewording because you can't drink to tap for two. But, man. Okay, you know what? I just thought for myself and realized there's no way to make those good. Like, basically, if you're not drinking, then they're basic lands. So,
the eternal format requires you to drink now. Yes, now you've fixed it. Everybody's happy. Done.
Yeah, I mean, after a few lands, you might lose. So.
Like the best I can come up with is be like, I'll tap a land. This taps for two of this color. That still might be kind of sweet.
I mean, you might think twice between, later in the game, you might not want to go grab one of them and just, settle with a shock land,
The only card, actually, now that makes sense, Kevy, is the demoralizing card. Could be played in a... Yeah. The demoralizing monkey. That card, that mechanic makes sense.
What's the mechanic again?
Demoralize is the best mechanic ever. So demoralize, if I get this wrong, correct me.
Oh no, I can't correct you at this point because I remember demoralize, but I don't remember what the mechanic was.
So I believe the mechanic is if you get demoralized counters on you, you start the next game with a disadvantage. So, for instance, I believe it was you start the next game where X is your demoralizing factor. So, like, let's say you have three counters on, then you start the game minus three life. Or demoralizing.
I thought it was, like, semen-based, though. I thought that was the point of it.
It was semen-based.
That's what I was, like, talking about. So, all right.
But the monkey card didn't directly reference semen, so that's why I thought it was safe. Zach Allen says, can you finally please get Gumby to bring back Harry Carey? Yes, I know I would, but he's not here right now. We're working on it. He's coming. I know I would. You know what? One day we're just going to get him to call in straight from work and get him fired. And that's going to be the way to get him back.
He's out on the range, man. They're like testing fucking weapons. I know. That's all they do out there. They test weapons and then they like ship like salty minerals. That's all they do out there.
They ship salty minerals?
Yep.
So either it's a...
Like, that's all their economy.
You just explained David's job and my job in a sentence.
So next time I talk to either one of them, and they're going to be like, so what are you doing? I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, stop. I'm going to flip a coin. And then whatever it is, I'm like, were you testing weapons or were you transporting salty minerals?
Well, I feel like that's the crest. And that also takes into account whatever like meth they have, like salty minerals or whatever, I guess. But,
oh, I see. Yeah. You're going full circle on this. You're bringing the drugs back, Muffet Baby Syndrome. I got it.
I looked at it on Google Earth because that's all I know. It's the internet. And it looks like the surface of like that.
Of Mars?
City Kronos or whatever.
Tatooine.
Looks like the surface of Io.
It looks like that.
Like, it's just like all sorts of like multicolored salt flats and shit. It's fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I'm telling you, it's crazy.
Oh, man. Chip Douglas, Pat Nash asks us, I don't agree with your narrow view on MTG, but there are lots of flavors of MTG and I support all. Diddle yourself to freedom. Thank you, Pat. We will definitely be diddling ourselves later this evening. Sometimes I just throw in, you know, the ones that are interesting. You know, you never know. You got to spice it up. Yeah. Look, Booze Cube is going to try to redeem himself for having the worst question of the night. He says, what is the maximum number of penises that could fit in the Twitter hole at one time? I believe this was tested several years ago, and the answer is 19. I'm pretty sure. It might have gotten bigger by then. But I'm pretty sure it's around 20.
I'm gonna go with Maddie because Maddie was like I specifically remember Maddie was like, "Oh, hey, don't worry, I'm gonna test this," and then I just went about my daily life. So apparently 19 is how many you can fit in the Twitter hole. I was at work and Maddie was just like, "Oh, hey, don't worry, I got this." Maddie, was it really 19 or was it more or less or?
I'll say this. Stephen Raffel has the best follow-up question to this.
The answer is two. My answer is two. The realistic answer is just the two dicks in the asshole. That's all there is. Can't have three.
I fucking love you, JR.
I didn't realize the Twitter hole was the asshole, but that's
but anyway.
Good to
like
know.
Two has to be like the realistic upper limit, you know.
Yeah, like I mean, like you can get those random ones that'll fit three, but like I mean, that's just a theatrical thing. That's not
has to be like the number.
A theatrical thing. That's only done on occasion when I'm really loose.
Think about it. I mean, I'm not really thinking about it, I'm just like.
That's right. Like when they're paying the porn stars, they're like, literally, this is going to be a shitty day for you. No pun intended. It's going to be a shitty day for you, but you're getting paid overtime. Like, I guess the way porn stars get paid is like, you know, there's double time, triple time, or just regular single time. And they like, you know, like if you go into three,
Pornhub hashtag accident.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Like somebody's going to get caught in the eye, and it's going to be bad. But, like, they're like, whatever, it's cool. We caught it on film. There's just that there's that niche of fucking dudes out there that fucking goes to Pornhub. It's like, I want to see three ass.
or three dicks in one asshole. And
three DP.
I want to see three ass.
I want to see TP.
You know the one thing you never want to do as a back-end web coder when you're looking at analytics? Never look at the analytics of any dirty porn site, because the things people click on is horrendous.
Analytics. Did we lose Chaz, or did he just not have anything to say?
No, I'm just listening.
We're gonna let Chaz drop in on the last question of the evening, folks. Because it does all relate. If you know, if you follow the rules of the universe.
How many dicks and butts does it take to drive you nuts? Oh, sorry.
We actually answered that question several episodes ago. Stephen Raphael, we're giving it to him. Long time no hear, buddy. He says, two-part question. Well, let's go for something awkward. He says, your dick has been severed from your body. Doctors can't reattach it. So you keep it. What do you do with your love stump? Make a necklace, keep it in a jar, give yourself a unicorn horn, or something else. Wow. Well,
let's go around the table here. Let's start there. Let's go around the table.
I got
here.
Mine.
All right, go, Jared.
I just keep it in a box, and I use it as my motivation to become the greatest artist of all time.
Is the box like jeweled?
No, is it just it's a just like hidden. It's box? Actually just like I might throw it out. I just might need just like.
No, it doesn't need to be in a jeweled box. This isn't for somebody else. This is for him. Like this is to motivate him to be the greatest artist of all fucking time.
So like an old coffee can in a corner like, under
I
your.
Come, if hey. I can't have an orgasm anymore, like. I don't know. It's probably I'm just like going to be into something else weird. Like I can't say what's going to happen.
Don't send me an ear. Just fucking keep your own shit in a box. Like that motivates you.
I'm saying like
more.
If I can't have an orgasm anymore, like I don't know what's going to happen. Like
that's a be all and end all to life. All right, Chaz, would you like to take a run at this?
I guess like you keep it in a little bag, like you know, like a eunuch would. And then, like, you make up all these crazy stories, and then when they ask to see you, just smack them with it.
Oh, yeah. What?
See?
I like the aggressive turn at the end, and that's where I was going with it. I would just fucking turn it into, like, I'd probably look into bronzing it and putting
it. Well, I like that.
I'd probably put it at the end of a fucking stick. Like, maybe even a cane. I don't know. I haven't thought this through yet.
A bronze just dick at the end of your cane? Wow.
I mean, that's the handle to my cane. It's just my cock bronzed at the handle of my fucking cane. And, like, you know, it'd be, like, I don't know, made of a rich mahogany, like the rest of the cane.
fine, rich mahogany.
It's a fucking conversation fucking piece.
Yeah, exactly. Like, people are always going to ask you about it. And then, like, you know, the people that don't ask you about it are the people that get knocked the fuck out by it.
Right.
Like, you know, somebody lifts up to you in public, and they're just all, what's up, old man? How you doing, cripple? You know, you just crack them across the head with your own dick. Like, that's one thing that not one of us can ever we've done.
I like the bronzing or, like, gold. You have, like, a samurai, like, sword, like, case, and then, like, a dorn.
Oh.
On the top, you have yours. Talk about
one
a conversation
time.
Piece. Like
it's my weapon. Actually, a katana handle might not be a bad option either. Like,
turn
like
it into a,
this
turn
is my
it into
weapon.
A bat. Tell people you play baseball. I don't know.
See, I was thinking Kevy would just turn it into like an iPhone cover or like an iPhone case protector or something.
Yeah. Those get scuffed up in the dirt. I care more about my penis than that.
I think I would have to also be in the realm of bronzing, or maybe petrifying it into wood, pun intended.
I said bronzing. Let me interject real quick. I said bronzing because it's kind of the first term that comes to hand. I feel like bronze, I couldn't bronze my own penis. Like, if this is what I'm going to carry around, like, either at the tip of my cane or below the hilt of my sword for the rest of my life, like, I don't think I could bronze it. Like, I feel like I'd spend a fuck ton of money on it. Like, it's got to be, like, platinum dipped with... Like, this is going to be, like, my pimp cup. Like, it's going to be platinum dipped with rhinestones and shit.
Okay. All right, so full on.
I don't think bronzing is the right term. I just want to make that clear because
like holy,
I care
like holy grail type.
Yeah.
Ooh, there you go. You know what I would do? I'm liking that angle right there. You have a shelf full of all dicks, and you make people choose yours, and it'll grant them immortality.
Whoa! Why do you have a shelf of dicks? We're just talking about if your own is separate. Like, I don't have a shelf.
How do you have how do you suddenly have all of ours? Like, it makes no sense.
Well, no. These were ones I've collected years ago. Oh. I was just saying I could finally complete the collection.
With your
collecting
own?
Dicks, and he's all, which one is the one that's gonna lead you to immortality? Is it the one that's in jewels and platinum,
They drink out of yours, and like now they're immortal.
Exactly, man. I know a carpenter's dick when I see one. It's got splinters in it.
Why are you drinking out of these dicks?
You have to be practical with this shit. Either that, or I turn it into a door knocker.
I feel like this question started off as like, "Oh, hey, man, if your fucking manhood is taken away, but you get to keep it, how are you gonna keep it?" They're like, somebody's gonna have to drink that shit.
Humanity is like bigger than Magic, like right? Like in terms of sales.
What?
Yeah.
Is it? Oh my god.
It's like crazy. Like if you go on, because I was trying to find a good cube carrier because that Cube Vault company is like not really in business anymore. So, but I found like a bunch of shit, but they were like Cards Against Humanity carriers because it was like looking for like cube size, like 1800, you know, like lots of cards. Not 1800, but you know what I mean. So, yeah, there's all these Cards Against Humanity's carriers on Amazon and shit.
Where are you going with this?
I'm just saying, like, Magic is like so small compared to what it could be. Like, yes. I want to like buy cube storage. It's just like it's only 600 cards, you know, like a good cube storage. But and short of like cardboard boxes, like it's like, you know, this other game, Cards Against Humanity. There's like so many more options. You just go on like Amazon. That's all I'm saying.
It's been a while, JR, since we've gotten off track.
That was,
and not knowing where we are.
I
like where you're going.
Did I miss something?
I'm just complaining.
Did I miss
man.
Something?
I'm just like beating back some new complaining material, you know.
Oh, okay.
I'm
just.
He had me. I was like literally wandering through a desert following him. Like, where are we going? He's like, trust me. I'm like, I'm getting thirsty. He's like, don't worry, I got this. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, we're going
to
die.
He goes back to like Holy Grail dicks.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought you never know.
Sometimes it's like, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
You know what? He'll tie it in, and then we'll all be like, no, oh, shit.
Speaking all of right. that, Maddie, like how many? Like, yes. We've been banned off the main page like way too many times. Like, how? What do you think the odds are of us doing a Holy Grail dicks graphic for this episode and it not getting on?
100%.
Damn
I guarantee
it!
You
Damn
that
it!
Is not happening. No, our ban rate is extremely high. We've been reprimanded, warned. We're on a list. We're probably on several lists.
Yeah, but I feel like they also have just been like, oh, you know what? They're just gonna do what they're gonna do. Like we can't really stop them.
No, we get banned. But I think that's probably the end of what I would consider. A journey, a trilogy maybe, Kevy. A trilogy about a city that leads somewhere, in which jeweled penis.
You lost me. Like, don't go see Indiana Jones in San Diego.
I wish it was a San Diego GP later this year.
I just love JR's comments out of nowhere. Like, no matter what we say, it's like this like Snoopy character in my head that's just like, man, I would totally love a GP about San Diego. If I could have in my client meetings, if I could just have like a JR like little doll that popped up on my left shoulder that would just talk to me and give me insights into like what people were thinking about, I would be entertained for a day.
I think we have to be in like a 24/7 Skype conversation with JR.
Yes. Oh, if I could have him
like,
I think it was like a football commercial where you have like a helmet and just JR talks to you the whole day.
Oh my god, I would die for that.
Remember that commercial for IBM in the 90s where that guy was in Venice and he was like trading stocks
He's
on
doing
his glasses?
It right now.
And he was like, buy, sell, buy, sell. He was like looking at his glasses.
No. But I love this. This is excellent information. I love this. This is really good.
It's like a commercial in the 90s, right?
And like anything that happens to you like during the day, like just like JR is like, yeah, I wish like, you know, there was like a GP in some place.
Yeah, like why are McDonald's fries so salty? I don't know. I literally would pay for an app that just had JR's head, but like done like the South Park heads where the top head moves like bah, 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 bah. And then like I'll pay 10 cents. Like if I'm like, what do I do, JR? I enter my question in and then he just gives me a random thought. You know, it's like, JR, I was just in a car accident, what do I do? Did you know that tulips were sold in the early 18th century for less than, you know, he goes on for like 5 minutes. You're like, wow, that took my mind off the car accident, Jared.
I mean,
thanks.
That's the thing. Like, I don't get into the hard stuff. Like,
I'm definitely, going to talk to JR later about this. I'm pretty sure we can kickstart.
Sucks to be young and get pushed around by old people.
But yeah, I mean,
it really does suck when you're young and you're just like, oh, you're always like, your stomach, it just always has the agita, and you're just like, ugh, it's going to happen. Yeah.
What the fuck? Wait, your stomach always has the agita? What is that? Is that some Japanese, like,
you're
weird?
You know what I mean? You're waking up early, and it's going to be like a stressful day, and you haven't eaten lunch yet, and you're just like, ugh.
I want the JR soundboard so bad right now. I'm having a bad day. I'm just like, ugh. But it's not-